Hey, what's poppin'? Drew and Mike Show in the DealsInTheD.com studios for Wednesday. And what the hell's going on today? Well, I can't say it'll be as exciting as yesterday with Kirk Gibson.
Gibby was great.
By the way, someone on Facebook said, "Who's this Gibby guy?" And I think they were serious.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How old is this commenter?
I don't. I mean, I would think if you lived here,
if you have any interest in this city, you know who Kirk Gibson is.
I thought that was kind of strange, here. But I guess that anything is possible.
One of the most iconic photos in Detroit sports history.
Two of them.
The arms up.
I was thinking of the Los Angeles Dodgers, but
yeah,
absolutely. No, there are a few pictures. I mean, it's weird to think about pictures now because all I think about it are people taking stupid selfies. But
yeah,
and there are those occasional great photos.
I remember getting that paper when I was 8.
Because you had to have everything.
Probably, yeah. I also, when you mentioned the wave yesterday, I was thinking about, I think I told you I had the iron-on decal that came with the free press that you just iron onto a t-shirt.
Nice.
I wore that shirt all the time.
Wow.
Miss it.
It was quite a year.
Oh, it was the best.
2006 was pretty cool, too.
Yep.
And let's see, I want to mention downtown Royal Oak. Of course, you can take a $10 lift into Royal Oak. Just use the code G-O-2-R-O. G-O-2-R-O. And you get $10 off on your way home. G-O-2-R-O. It's from 5 p.m. to 2 a.m. on Thursday and Friday. And then on Saturday, it starts at 10 a.m. till 2 a.m. And you can spend those dollars. The Royal Oak Downtown Development Authority is giving up to $400,000 in downtown dollars. Our audience has scarfed up a bunch of it.
The worst, stupidest deals I've ever seen.
You get a $20 e-gift card, which is as good as cash downtown. If virtually everyone's participating. You may find there are a few spoil sports, but go to visit.
Spoil sports.
Just ask. Actually, it turns out the two that I was like, where are these guys? They just completely gapped.
Yeah, you publicly shamed them into joining.
I did. Visit RoyalOak.com. Sign up for the RO in the No newsletter. You get a $20 e-gift card. Can be used at any of the participating
businesses. We're looking at money.
That's visit RoyalOak.com. Sign up for the RO in the No newsletter.
Yeah.
And City Raymond, Lily's, Vera Asian, Lil Bros Burgers, Freshie, Golden Cone, Unique Knits, Ale Mary's, Rocket Printing.
Man, I was
some of the participating.
I was in downtown Royal Oak to get rid of some stuff. You know, since everybody's cleaning everything out for COVID, a bunch of stuff to donate to the Salvation Army. You would not believe because they haven't been accepting.
Wait,
what?
Everyone's cleaning everything out for COVID
because everyone's been stuck at home, so they clean all their ground, whatever they clean out.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. Well, just because you didn't.
Well, I just was asking if I just want to know what I was missing out on.
You're getting rid of.
I wasn't going to do it.
You have always missed on getting rid of stuff.
True.
I don't like stuff. You love stuff.
No, it just, I just don't know what to do. It just overwhelms me. It takes over my life.
I'll get rid of it. I'll just get rid of it all.
Who's going to buy that crap?
The point being is that there's the biggest line to donate stuff because they haven't been accepting anything.
Right.
So there's a line of cars around the block.
What?
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah, it's weird that we're seeing some of these maybe unintended consequences of a shutdown. For example, I couldn't get some of my Gatorades today, like a specific Gatorade, and I asked about them. And they said, well, the bottles and cans, there's a huge shortage because no one's been recycling and they can't bottle them.
And coins, that's a problem too.
Coins. And coins, I see that all over every speedway I go to. It says we have a coin shortage.
Hmm.
Get rid of them.
So much to think about. I was going to ask you guys, you know, they're revealing who won the Best of Channel 4 this week, aren't they?
Yeah, slowly but surely. I haven't seen the answer yet. And I only knew that because when I got here and turned on the TV, they were doing it on live in the
Yeah, day? Jason yeah. Carr.
Right. They were why won't anyone give me an award?
I feel bad about thinking this, but watching it, I just went, who gives a crap about that award?
I know. I do the same thing when I was looking through. But don't tell me they're saving us till Friday.
I don't know. Maybe we didn't win.
Well, they're supposedly if you saw Best Podcast and it was somebody else, then no, we didn't.
Yeah, they just haven't. I
haven't wonder if they save media stuff till the end. I don't know. Just asking. Damn it. I want.
I know. I want to win something.
I've never anticipated an award like this in my life.
I don't know why either. I don't get it.
I think it's because when you don't win one for a while, you feel like, damn it, I should be winning awards still. What's going on?
Validate our existence.
Well, I didn't know they made ninth place ribbons.
I've gotten a couple of those, too. Facebook Live brought to you by Emergency Response Services Incorporated. Call 877-JOB-DONE. Put it in the fridge. If you have storm damage, fire damage, mold, water, anything that is an emergency, they're probably the people to call. Also doing the COVID disinfecting of service vehicles, businesses, whatever. 877-JOB-DONE or visit 877-JOB-DONE.com. I'm telling you, I'll call them as soon as there's water. I will be calling fast, as some of our listeners have already gotten their basements quickly drained by Emergency Response Services Incorporated. There you go, 877-JOB-DONE.com. Put that phone number on your fridge, 877-JOB-DONE. Can you handle this for me?
Sure, sure. Brian's complaining about all the opportunity costs he lost voting for us for the podcast. If we didn't win.
Oh.
On Facebook Live.
I don't know why. I expect to win. I know that's ridiculous, but I...
How arrogant of you.
They had the standings like July 10th, and I think we were number one.
You have had a big fucking head lately. Why don't you come back to reality?
Things are getting wild at Zot Ford and Holly, and we're talking about the all-new Ford Bronco. The time's finally come. You can reserve one right now. Go online. Reserve your all-new Ford Bronco from our friends at Zot Ford. And this is actually in the copy. The juice. When is OJ going to get a Bronco? He needs one. He could go to ZotFord.com and follow the link to order your new Bronco Sport or full-size Bronco two-door or full-door. Four-door. The hype is enormous, and the Broncos will sell out before you even know it. Plus, Zot is still offering the Ford Promise. Buy or lease a new or pre-loved vehicle. And if you get canceled in your first year of ownership, canceled or fired, Ford is going to take that vehicle back. Player Dave, period. The team at Zot Ford continues to have deals. The lease trifecta. Remember that very popular trifecta? It's back. You can lease an all-new 2024 to EcoSport or a new 2024 to Escape all-wheel drive or a new 2024 F-150 Super Crew XLT 4x4. Your choice of the three. Each one is low as $166 a month. Yes, Zot Ford's trifecta gives you a choice of three brand new Fords for just $166 a month. Surf their deals, a massive inventory, and the trifecta of deals at dealsinthed.com.
Did you hear the Tamar Braxton 911 call?
I did. I'm very concerned for her, mainly for her contract with the television station.
Why in the world would... Well, it's not her calling. It's her live-in or partner, whatever.
Which makes it even worse, doesn't it?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Like, why would you be... Why don't you just play the call? And she's attempted suicide, allegedly.
Yeah.
So they're calling for help.
So from TMZ.
Atlanta, now 1-6546, what's the address of your emergency?
3434 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia, Ritz Carlton and Buckhead.
3434 Peachtree Road, wow, northeast just give out their address. At the Ritz Carlton, police, fire, or ambulance.
Police.
How can I help you?
Yeah, I'm having a domestic dispute between Mr. Vincent Herbert and Tamar Braxton.
What?
Domestic dispute between, and he gives the full name.
Yes.
Any weapons involved?
No.
Domestic dispute?
Yeah. That's what he said. I thought it was a suicide. An overdose.
That's what I thought.
Does she need an ambulance?
He left, but she's here.
Some fast typing.
What's the gentleman's name?
Vincent Herbert.
Why is she arguing with Vincent Herbert? Who the fuck is he?
No one cares. Knows who he is. Maybe he works.
He's no longer at the scene.
No.
Then why do they need the police?
And you said she does not need an ambulance.
No.
Wait, okay. Is this the
Where
call?
Is the officers need to come
is this
to
the call
lobby?
You heard on TMZ today?
Yes, I have someone out there to meet him.
Okay, we'll get an officer over there.
Okay, this must be a different one because we're missing the part where
are you okay? My husband bit me in the something underneath it. What the fuck? I'm going.
I can find
wait, this is this the call I just heard?
How about this one?
Fire paramedic operator 148, what's the address of the emergency? And what's the emergency?
My girlfriend is not responding.
There, are you with her right now?
Are you okay?
How old is she?
She's not awake.
Okay, can you wake her up? Can you shake her and yell at her? Try to wake her up.
I'm shaking. She has a little bit of her eye open.
All right, sir. Like I said, we're on the way. I'm going to stay on the line with you.
Okay, she's been drinking. It's like a half open.
How many 911 calls are made on Tamar Braxton?
Do you have?
She sent a letter earlier. Anyway, just ask him to hurry.
I'm sorry, sir. You said she's on...
Just ask him to hurry. She's on medication. She takes medication, but she gets anxiety. I don't know if she's taking her medication or what. Or if she was very angry earlier on. She has trouble with the network. She's just a company she's working with, and they did some things today. And she no way. This before. I hope this is not
very relatable to 911
okay.
people.
It makes
trouble
with
the network.
When they're inside of the same room that you're in, you and I can disconnect. Ooh. But until then, we have to keep our eye on her breathing. Okay.
Okay, enough of this dope. Yeah, it's weird. TMZ, I think they way tightened it up because they had the three lines about, you know, her problems with the network, which is like...
Why are you breathing so hard?
Why are you talking to 911 about the network?
Well, it's almost like he knows the 911's going to get... Call will get out. And how would he know that? Oh, because they've called 911 before and it got out.
What is going on with this chick? And you know, I got to tell you... I don't know how big the show is, but you start calling your bosses slave masters.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I would think people would be jumping her ass for that. But, you know, a lot of people probably go, oh, my God, that's terrible. How could they treat her like that?
Oh, her fans would.
Believe me, probably. She would not be my first choice that I could have.
Another one? What's the address of the emergency?
Hey, this is the one we just heard.
Yeah, we just...
3434 Peachtree Road.
Yeah, this is the one we heard.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm sure there are more. We'll discover.
Did you want us to come over to shoot her?
By the way, I was listening to a... Did we know when Dolores O'Riordan died?
Yes.
Did we know she had a 0.33 blood alcohol level? I didn't... Yeah. Somehow, we did know that?
Reason,
I remember knowing that.
Maybe not right when she died, but...
0.33, Jesus Christ.
I don't know. Because
it was like, I think it was in the morning too, wasn't it? I mean, it just really.
Yeah, well, she struggled.
I don't know why. It just made me. I felt really bad. I just felt bad about it. I mean.
You drank a lot.
She did.
That is a lot. She's
and she had medication too. And,
yeah. You
know, just terrible. You're that sick. Reminds me. Today, you know, like every day, one of the things you do when you get up, you start trying to familiarize yourself with what's going on is see what the latest in the Johnny Depp Amber Heard case is. And that case is starting to exhaust me.
Oh, really?
I'm not kidding you. I read it, and it's like, oh, yeah, Johnny's doing tons of blow, and we got this three-day fight. And it's like, oh, my God, how do these people keep going?
I don't know. They're perfect for each other.
Yeah.
Every day there is a new revelation. Every day we find out something shitty about each one of them.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I think they're both happy they're going through this.
Well, hey, certainly
what is
she
the
is, point?
Well, I am, yeah.
There's just no point.
And now we find out that she ghosted Elon Musk.
That was the funniest thing in the story is, first of all, she's lying. She is lying, claiming that I have a relationship with Elon Musk. The valet or whatever said, oh, yeah, he went in there after 11 o'clock a few times. I remember him.
Nice.
And then
there's pictures of it. There's security footage.
Yeah. And then he's acting kind of butthurt, isn't he? Because she
we have the footage. I have all the footage.
She was radio silent for a while.
Yeah, that's one of the things he wrote to her. The offer would stand, even if you never wanted to see me again. Anyway, sorry for being an idiot. The radio silence hurts a lot. It only matters because I really like you. And I like putting my penis inside of you. Your mouth. Or your
the offer, vagina. Which is to provide round-the-clock security for Amber Heard.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why would Elon Musk, if she never wants to talk to him again, why would he provide round-the-clock security for her? I mean, isn't it just the dumbest thing?
Yeah. Yeah. What else came out in the trial today? Anything? Was there anything else? Was there something about her
claims,
bruise?
She claimed that he pushed Kate Moss down the stairs and that she stopped him from shoving her sister down the stairs. So he likes throwing people down the stairs, I guess.
God.
That's audio of Kate Moss.
Yeah, this is evidence.
I knew it! Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
How do they stay married?
Oh my God, it's over.
The sex must have been great, to answer your question.
I would think
they stay married.
45 minutes max.
A full Jackson?
I don't know. They just sound so. I mean, they just sound terrible, both of them. And she said she was the loneliest she's ever been in her life at their wedding.
At her wedding?
Yeah, because Johnny was doing narcotics.
How's that any different from any other time you did narcotics?
Oh.
At your wedding, there's plenty of people around.
Exactly.
I imagine she didn't get any.
And Kanye West, this story is I don't know. Are you exhausted by him sometimes?
Very much so.
Running for president, it's like it's just any crazy shit he does, all of a sudden it's Kanye, and nobody really believes he's running for president.
No.
He's not signed up in the States, and then he goes and gives this crazy speech. He's bawling his eyes out. It's like embarrassing. And then people are making fun of it.
The reaction is the most embarrassing thing, I feel.
The reaction?
Just from the public about it. Hi, Brandon's back. We lost internet for a second.
You mean the reaction of, don't make fun of this because this is a mental health issue.
Yeah.
Yeah, from Halsey and...
From everyone. He keeps.
Oh, wait, what store are we on now?
Kanye.
Oh, damn, I was still going down that Johnny Depp and Amber Heard train. Specifically, the dudes that she has confirmed banging aside from Elon Musk.
Well, we talked about Pumpkinhead and... Who else yesterday?
Potato Head.
Potato
See, I just thought that those were nicknames. I didn't know that they were people that Amber Heard actually slept with. I did not know that she slept with Channing Tatum and Leonardo DiCaprio, as well as Elon Musk.
Well, he accused her of sleeping with them, whether she did or not. I don't know. Probably didn't. I wouldn't be surprised.
She got around, man.
So, anyway, Kanye is, I guess, this whole thing about, we're about to board our six-year-old.
Yeah,
just... What the?
Oh,
what are you
he
doing?
Wanted to. He wanted to abort his kid.
Yeah,
is that something you want your 6-year-old to know about?
And now he's tweeting out at Chris, his mother-in-law,
Jenner.
And her. Oh, he says that he's the star of Get Him. Is that the movie? Get Him.
Get Out.
Yeah, where he's the black guy's in the house and he can't get out.
Oh, he's trapped in the underground. He's been hypnotized by the Kardashians.
I don't know.
He doesn't need the Kardashians.
No. No, hell no. I don't know. It's just...
Do they need him?
No, they don't need him.
Well, then be done with it.
Yeah, I don't... You know, I find it hard to believe those two really relate on some heavy level, but they've got 3 kids or 4 kids.
Yeah, I forget about that.
I don't know.
Although he seems to be an absentee father.
He does seem to be on the road.
Oh, boy, did he hand her plenty of material if they ever do get divorced for child custody. He wanted to abort him. He doesn't want these kids. He wanted to abort him.
Is it weird that he hangs out on like a ranch out in the middle of nowhere in Wyoming?
Yeah, and Dave Chappelle is out there.
I know.
To try and talk him down, I guess.
Is that not the word? Chappelle. He's trying to do a nice thing and a good thing. He's worried about his friend, but then they put out that video where Chappelle's just, he's like, tell everybody a joke, Dave. Something uplifting. Dave's like, I don't do uplifting jokes. I don't know. Just a weird situation.
Yeah. Well,
I'm worried about the birthday party. Are they going to perform in this election or what?
Are there candidates who are like grabbing the coattails of the birthday party?
Oh, maybe that's what the Chappelle thing
is. I like the name of the party, by the way.
Oh, it's great. Maybe Chappelle is going to be his VP. Fucking stupid.
He's already picked a VP.
He has, Kanye?
Yeah, he has. I can't remember who it was. Oh, he wants Jay-Z to be his VP.
Well, he didn't even turn that down.
I saw
that Caitlyn Jenner wanted to be the VP. That was a story,
oh,
too.
That's not going to happen.
Are you kidding me? Joe Biden, I guess, has got the VP down to 4 African-American women.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I saw that today.
Who?
I don't know.
Kamala Harris.
Kamala Harris and 3 other people that our audience is probably not really terribly knowledgeable about.
Keisha Lance Bottoms.
But just know that you'll find out how horrible they are the minute they're nominated people start digging.
believe me, we probably already know how horrible they are right now.
VP picks that are done at the last, in August when it has to be done because, you're not the incumbent. It's always an adventure, isn't it?
Yeah. Why bother? Hey, no. I don't understand why he bothered saying, I'm going to pick a woman. And then he's getting a little bit ahead of himself.
Yeah, he kind of hamstrung himself because
he could just coast in if he picked Barely almost anyone, it seems. I don't know. There was a poll yesterday that has him up 15 points.
Do you think if he goes, let's say all of a sudden he decides to pick a white male, do you think that hurts his chances in beating Trump? Like if he just goes back on the whole black-female thing? I don't either.
I don't. He's not going to, though.
What if he just got crazy and he's like, Gavin Newsom?
That'd be pretty wild. Well,
the ones rumored right now are Kamala Harris, Keisha Bottoms, like you said, Val Demings of Florida, Karen Bass of California, and then Susan Rice, as well as Stacey Abrams.
Huh.
All righty.
We'll learn how terrible all those people are soon.
Well, I want to try and exhaust the entertainment category with a couple things. Oh, you know, I never mentioned this. I saw the Shannon Hoon documentary.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
And how was it? Because I was a little worried.
What Can I Say, I believe is the name of it.
All I Can Say,
yeah. And it's not on Apple. It's not on Prime. It's not on Netflix. You got to just pay $11.50 to some, I don't even remember the site, but you can find it. It's not that hard. I thought it was really good. I was surprised because I was not a big fan of Blind Melon.
I was a little worried seeing the trailer because there was a lot of, there's almost too much home video.
That's the whole documentary. Ew. Is him filming himself.
Ew.
From, we're talking like age 17 to the end of his life.
And it's not like the video quality back then was wonderful. You're talking 90s.
I didn't have that complaint watching it, but I'm sure some people would. It really didn't bother me. I was more caught up in the, wow, he actually filmed himself this much? It's kind of incredible.
Is there a narrator? I mean, is there
No. That's
Does it work?
I thought it did. I actually thought it did. In fact, they never cheated. Even when he died, they did not cheat. They could have had, you'd think there'd be some, you know, news story on TV or something. Nope.
Still all his footage.
Yeah. Well, they said on the screen that, you know, he died a few hours later after his last post. 1 month after his baby was born.
Oh, boy.
I know. I found him. It's weird. I was trying to remember, why did I not like Shannon Hoon? I don't think I disliked him terribly or anything, but then they showed the clip of Woodstock where he's wearing that white thing and his hair's in a barrette.
Oh, yeah, he's just
I just
like
remember
a girl.
Thinking, what?
Yeah.
This is so stupid. And I think I held it against him, which is terrible of me. Sorry, not sorry.
Hey, you only get one chance to make a first impression.
Give your girl a name to toughen you up. I like it.
If I'm not going to see that B-girl, I don't want to hear any of it.
He hated the B-girl, by the way.
What? Wait,
he hated her.
Like the actual actress, or he hated the imagery?
I think he hated all of it. The actress, the actress's parents, all of it. He did an interview at the end of his life where he says, I'm so tired of this B-girl thing, and the parents are even more annoying.
That's really funny. Hey, at least he's honest about it.
That's pretty hilarious.
Really funny. B-girl. They did a lot for that B-girl, man.
But it's one of these things where, you know, after 10 minutes, you know it's all him videotaping himself.
Yeah.
And it's just when he's, the thing gets further and further in, it's just this feeling of impending doom.
He dies.
It's really tough.
Did they do an update on Blind Melon today and what they're doing? Because did you know they have a new album out?
I know they've been together for a while, haven't they? And are there some tapes of his voice?
Oh, I don't know.
I think I saw that somewhere. Whatever.
Like on the new album?
I don't know. I saw it somewhere. Who knows?
I was just surprised to see that. It's not a new album, a new single. Well, let's hear. Here's the new single.
With his voice?
Let's see. Definitely not his voice.
Nope.
It's not like Blind Melon at all. Oh, that was fun.
It's overproduced for Blind Melon.
Just like his videos.
That's what Shannon would be saying.
So did you find him to be likable?
I did. I liked it. I really did. And I liked him.
Yeah.
Which surprised me just because, you know, anybody puts a camera on themselves that much and then becomes a lead singer, you got to believe their ego is just going to run away wildly with them. But he was a Midwestern kid from Indiana.
They have any cool of football highlights? Wasn't he all state?
Yeah, he played sports. I think it starts right around the end of high school, so they didn't know. But, you know, actually, I think there was a highlight. That might have started the the film.
Oh, really? And play football?
Now I don't know if I'm dreaming this or confusing with something. But his dad was in prison for a while. And, you know, he grew up in a... It sounded kind of messy and...
I wish I had a father.
he was a messy guy. But I thought he was very likable. I was really surprised. He seemed very genuine. And, you know, you can tell he doesn't speak terribly well.
Mm. Hmm.
Like a guy who isn't a great student would. But I thought the way he spoke and what he said, he communicated in a very interesting way. I don't know how else to put it. I'm getting too heavy.
Fun fact, that Woodstock 94 appearance, he was high on LSD, and that was his girlfriend's dress he was wearing.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, were there any special appearances by any other celebrities in it?
Yeah, there were.
That maybe surprised you? Or
yeah, there was one that's really weird. He goes to rehab, and he gets out, and he's got all these phone messages. And they're going through the phone messages, and they're playing them on the movie. And one of them is from, I think it's Mike McCready.
Oh, really?
And he's in rehab. He's calling from rehab saying, yeah, I'm really nervous about this. I don't want anyone to know. And it's playing this documentary.
Wait, McCready was in rehab?
I think it was Mike McCready. It was somebody in Pearl Jam. I think it was Mike.
Huh.
You're going into a rehab.
Of course, that was 25 years ago. I doubt he cares.
Probably not.
I hope not. I mean, anyway, yeah, that was really weird. There were some other ones, too. I just thought it was, if you like rock docs, I thought it was interesting, different. It certainly helps to like Blind Melon.
Well, Blind Melon at Woodstock was Rolling Stone's number 3 10 classic drugged out shows and performances. That was number 3 on the list.
What's number 1?
I'm having trouble loading it, but let's see. Number 10 is Green Day in Vegas 2012.
Oh, no, yeah. That was messy.
Poison at the 1991 MTV Video Music Awards, MTV Awards. They were supposed to play Unskinny Bop, but guitarist CeCe DeVille, in the midst of a horrible cocaine addiction, went into Talk Dirty to Me instead. At one point, his guitar becomes completely unplugged.
Oh, boy.
It was a huge moment for the band, and they absolutely blew it. I guess Bret Michaels and CeCe had a huge fight backstage, and he actually fired CeCe DeVille, but of course brought him back.
Was that number 1, did you say?
Later. That was 9.
It was 9.
You blew it!
Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young at Wembley in 74. Does that ring a bell?
No, not really, but there had to be something with Crosby in it.
That tour was one of the most notoriously...
It was a very cocaine-oriented tour.
That it was a coke-fueled tour, to take a line from
Meg Ryan's mother.
I'm glad you knew where I was going. All 4 of them were doing insane amounts of cocaine, and the show suffered. The result was the tour was largely confined to America, but it wrapped up in Wembley. Stephen Stills was so far gone at this point, he reportedly believed that he fought in Vietnam. signing autograph, Stephen Stills, U.S. Marine Corps.
What?
The Wembley show was filmed for posterity, and it recently popped up on YouTube. Joni Mitchell said everyone was so heavily into the cocaine trip, and that stuff that was copped had to be cut with borax. What's borax?
That's a detergent.
Really?
I think so.
People were shoveling in. You couldn't get high off of it.
Oh, my. Oh, God. That sounds terrible.
Before we went on, everybody had nosebleeds. She said that was AIDS. Well, you probably know this one. 1970, same year, George Harrison.
Yeah, George was suffering from a love of cocaine also. I just think he was hoarse.
First time any Beatle had toured America.
Yep.
Since their final outing in 66. He played Something, While My Guitar Gently Weeps. And for some reason, he played In My Life.
Which he changed the words to.
In My Life?
In My Life. He said, In My Life, I think it's like Krishna.
Oh, that's blasphemous.
He also changed the words to a couple other songs. I mean, that tour was kind of a disaster. Although I've seen clips of it, and he's a good band leader. He's got a good band, but it had Ravi Shankar opening up with like 2 hours of sitar. And the crowd would get really tired of it. They try to be nice. And then I think George came out and scolded them a few times.
he gave Ravi Shankar a ton of stage time.
Yeah.
The crowd did not love the long sitar sets, but they also couldn't believe how awful he sounded. Like you said, he had a case of laryngitis.
His throat was really cooked.
But snorting mountains of cocaine didn't make his voice sound any sweeter. At the end of the tour, his voice was shredded.
Yeah.
Never went on the road again until 91.
You know, and he only did like 3 weeks of shows in Japan. He never played here.
Yeah, that's what it said, just Japan.
I mean, it's really weird, isn't it? John Lennon never toured on his own.
Really?
No. Nope.
Because he didn't have to or he didn't want to?
I don't think he wanted to. I think they were both really... if you watch that Ron Howard movie on the Beatles touring years, mm-hmm. that was such a clusterfuck. I mean, it was just absolute madness, you know, being moved around in armored cars and yeah. just... I think they both had PTSD, possibly.
Really?
And then George's first tour goes badly, and I think that was just the end of that.
Lennon,
I don't know. You know, because McCartney's out there all the time. Ringo's out there all the time. They're the two hams in the band. They love playing. They love playing live.
That's why they're still alive.
Wait, hold the story.
I don't know the story.
Number six is one we've played many times. Van Halen at the US Festival.
Oh.
When Roth was just hammered. Wozniak wrote in his memoir that David Lee Roth was nice and cordial when I first met him, but he was practically falling down on stage.
Can you hear me out there?
Oh, God, what a disaster. Number five, Keith Moon at the Cow Palace in 73.
Oh, passed out.
That's when passed he had to be replaced,
yeah,
right?
Be replaced by the guy we talked to and his wife.
Horse tranquilizers and
I'm still sleeping, man.
For Bob Dylan and Johnny Cash, 1966.
I don't know what that is. That seems... Was Cash out of it?
Dylan fans have spent the last 40 years debating what drugs he took on his infamous 1966 European tour with the Hawks.
Oh, it was Bob.
Dylan!
Bob was messed up.
Some are convinced it was heroin, while others say it was merely a hearty dose of amphetamines mixed with booze and very little sleep.
Hmm.
Dylan won't admit he was on anything, although in 1969 he talked to Rolling Stone about it. He said, I was on the road for almost 5 years. It wore me down. I was on drugs. A lot of things to keep me going, you know. I don't want to live that way anymore. That's what he said.
That's how I felt the last couple days, except I didn't take the drugs.
Yeah.
I just felt kind of like, I can't explain it. Just kind of, just weary, I guess.
He's a sleepy guy.
But this particular show in Wales, May 11th, 66, he met up with Johnny Cash backstage. Cash was at the height of his well-documented pill addiction. He was
Yeah, I was all ready to accuse Johnny Cash of screwing up the show.
Dexedrine and Equinil.
The late percent Cody never hurt anybody.
Johnny Cash liked them pills packed with energy. These pills are packed with energy.
Chlorpheniramine.
How did you pronounce acetaminophen?
Acetaminophen.
I love that. Okay, then Blind Melon, LSD, Woodstock, 94. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Two is Neil Young, The Last Waltz.
Really?
Yeah.
All I see in the movie is him singing Helpless, and he seems okay.
An
old butt buddy, are you here, Neil?
So he played two shows in Boston with Crazy Horse in a single night. He then flew cross-country, gave up his Thanksgiving in order to give his friends a proper farewell. Huge party backstage. When it came time for Neil Young to take the stage and play Helpless... He had done a little more than cocaine. He performed with a good-sized rock of cocaine stuck in his nostril, according to Levon.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
Neil's manager saw this and said, no way is he going to be on film like this. They had to go to special effects people who developed what they called a traveling booger mat to sanitize Neil's nostril and put the song into the show.
How funny.
That's awesome. And number one, Santana at Woodstock 69 on mescaline.
Really?
Yeah.
God, I had no idea. I mean, I don't think I've seen it, but Santana, I just don't think of Santana as being all wasted.
It was around, when we first got there, around 11 in the morning, he told us we weren't going on until 8. He told Rolling Stone in 89, so I said, hey, I think I'll take some psychedelics. And by the time I was coming down, it'd be time to go on stage and I'd feel fine, but I was peaking around 2 o'clock, and somebody said, if you don't go right now, you're not going to go on.
That happened to a few people, actually. They got thrown on. Really late or earlier, it was pretty screwed up.
Stock seemed to be a little disorganized.
A little bit. I got a couple other fun lists I thought were pretty cool, speaking of music. But I want to mention Zach Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, dealsinad.com. Everything's okay. People are getting cars again. If you can't go out, they can deliver them to you. And they've got their drive forward event at Zach Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. So go online, enjoy their enhanced shopping. They've got a 2020 Ram Quad Cab Bighorn for $188 a month. Jeeps. How about a 2020 loaded Jeep Compass at $155 a month? The new 2020 Jeep Grand Cherokee as low as $247 a month. And the Wrangler employee pricing for everyone at Zot. 0% financing.
Okay, cool.
And $1,500 in rebates if you want a new Jeep Wrangler right now. Speaking of right now, you got to hurry because the shutdown has inventory a little bit low. DealsInTheD.com. And Adam. Can't forget about Adam. If you're a man facing divorce or custody issues, call Adam. I wonder what this has done to divorce.
COVID?
Yeah.
Increased it because everyone was locked down?
I would think so, but I mean,
Tom Arnold got divorced, so.
Tom Arnold did?
Yeah, you didn't know that? It was finalized. I guess he's getting it on with his assistant now. I don't know. That's basically how I reacted to the story when I saw the headline.
Call Adam. For nearly 30 years, Adam's been helping men like you protect your rights, get the fair treatment of the court system you deserve. Don't take a chance with your future. Go with the best. Adam has knowledgeable, aggressive, experienced attorneys that you want. Call Adam at 248-356-2326. 248-356-ADAM. And Hall Financial Hotline. I don't know what we're doing. Is there anything happening on the Hall Financial Hotline?
We never called the Verizon store where the lady whizzed in the middle. Or the pizza parlor where the guy threw the pizza at the robber.
Oh, yeah. That was kind of a cool story. Anyway, the Hall Financial Hotline is always available for us, and so is Hall Financial. In fact, I got a funny email today. Someone who called from Pennsylvania because they heard about these interest rates. And like, oh, I got to save money. Well, they're not licensed in Pennsylvania, so problem. But anyway, he said keep it stiff when he hung up, and he said he didn't think whoever the Hall person was quite up on the lingo. But if you haven't financed in the last year, Hall Financial thinks they can help you. If you're 3.6 or over, they can definitely help you. I mean, that's crazy high compared to what they're refinancing people at. Of course, there are some requirements. And if you can just provide them with a few little pieces of information, they can do it pretty quickly, tell you whether they can help or not. So call 248-308-5000. Go to our webpage, click the link on the logo to get started, or go to davidhallmortgage.com/Drew and Mike. 1,500 five-star reviews at Hall Financial. Lower payments, better options, more personal attention. NMLS number 1467435. Okay, so I saw this. I saw two lists, and both of them I'm like, wait, how many people that I care about can be on these lists? Mm-hmm. And as it turned out, there were many on the list that I didn't care about, but there were some that I did care about. The categories were, one was two album wonders, like bands that just did two albums.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's
like Blind Melon?
Yeah, I think Blind Melon were in there.
I think they only had two.
I didn't save the list, but I remember the Joy Division was on it, who I love.
Oh, yeah.
The Wilburys, Amy Winehouse.
Wait, the Wilburys only did two?
Yeah, just did two. Volume one and Volume three.
Oh, maybe that's why I was confused.
And the Stone Roses only had two.
Huh.
And I think there were a lot of them that were sort of out of our zone.
Yeah.
But then they had the one album list. And I'm going, what? Oh, my God. All these bands, starting with Thunderclap Newman, you know, Something in the Air. Something in the Air.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, great song. It's in a million movies. It's in Almost Famous.
Yeah, yeah,
it's in so much stuff. It was a number one hit in the U.K., number one. I think over here it did crack the top 40, but it wasn't that big.
I feel like a lot of the bands in this list are probably people that went to other bands, maybe.
You know,
why would you just
I don't know how successfully they did, to be honest, but as we go through, you'll see what I'm talking about. But this song, I mean, you got to believe it. The band that came up with this song would have to be capable of more. By the way, they're put together by Pete Townsend and Kit Lambert. Kit Lambert was the Who's manager, and they really believed in Thunderclap. That's what they call him, Thunderclap Newman, who was a keyboardist. He played a lot of instruments, and he loved to write. And he had Jimmy McCullough, who would end up being McCartney's lead guitar player in the mid-70s, kind of his glory years. And Jimmy McCullough was only 18 years old, but he was a guitar whiz, and they had another guy who was supposed to be good. And Pete Townsend played bass on all their stuff, listed as Bijou Drains.
Speedy Keen was one of the guys, and he was Townsend's driver before he was in the band. But it turned out he ended up being a session.
Yeah, they could definitely play. And Thunderclap Newman, I guess he ended up being an electrician.
Huh.
And then he reunited the band in 2007. It's like, take your time, Thunderclap.
Weird.
Count Five, Psychotic Reaction.
Never heard of that.
You've heard Psychotic Reaction, I guarantee it. Great song. Great song. It's like, This is another one where you go, they got to have something else in the hopper. And I don't know what happened to any of them afterwards either. Some nice stoner music. I feel like I'm going to Ichiku Park.
I don't know this song at all.
You don't? It was a sizable hit. I think it ends up on those psychedelic collections of the 60s.
This is interesting. They needed more songs for their album, so they just did two covers of The Who.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they did My Generation and Out in the Street.
There's a lot more covering back then, but that does sound a little lame. You know who has a great solo album, and it's like, I think it's considered the best Beach Boys solo album, is Dennis Wilson, who's the drummer who drowned, ironically. Mm-hmm. He's the only surfer. Pacific Ocean Blue, and I just know a lot of people love it. Did you know the New Radicals never did a second album?
Yeah, well, it's one guy, right? Isn't it one guy, New Radicals?
Yeah. How could he not do another album?
He just bought all the fisherman hats he needed to from that first album, and he just retired.
What happened to that guy? Isn't he from here? Didn't we have this conversation before?
I think we did. I mean, that was 1998.
It's a big song.
It's a great song. No, it is a fantastic song.
Yeah, he's from Grosse Pointe.
I
would just think someone would shove him in the studio.
Wrote and produced all of the songs on the album.
I mean, this song crosses over to anybody, I think. Anybody could like this song.
Very good song, yeah.
There's an album on here that I just don't know anything about this. Do you know The Good, the Bad, and the Queen?
No.
It's Damon Albarn from really? Blur, Paul Simonon from The Clash, and I think there's two other guys. But they only did one album. And then he went on to Gorillaz or whatever?
Yeah.
Damon? Wow, that's...
I know. I was interested in that. I was like, I got to hear some of that.
They have any hits?
I don't know. I know nothing about them.
Their biggest streaming song on Spotify is 3.4 million.
But Paul's a fantastic bass player.
It just sounds like something. Come a day, you see the sun.
Oh, there's the Paul.
Yeah. It's kind of a quasi super group.
It's kind of interesting. I don't know. I'd have to hear more. I mean, I like those two guys a lot. And I saw something.
Guess what? They put out a new album 2 years ago. So what? It should be kicked off this list.
No, this must be an old list.
They should be on like two albums.
Damn it. So. They will be. I saw something online recently because I was, for some reason, what was I doing? Why was I listening to Joe Strummer? I think I was listening to one of his solo songs, and I fall into all this Clash stuff. You know, you just go into a deep dive for no reason, rabbit hole. And I know I'd read about this, but I'd never seen it. When the Clash split, and they did do one album without Mick Jones, because Strummer and Jones were the guys doing the writing, although the bass player and the drummer, I'm sure, contributed. Anyway, Mick Jones started Big Audio Dynamite, which was a big hit, huge, while Joe Strummer sort of went on his own, and they really were pretty estranged, I guess, but about a month before Strummer died, he invited Mick Jones to join him on stage at a show. And it's a real rowdy club. And Mick Jones comes on, plays two songs. I'd never seen the video. It was fucking cool, man.
Really?
Yeah. I think he died in 2001 or 2002.
When did Strummer didn't die? When
yeah,
did
Strummer's die? Dead. Strummer's
no,
dead.
I know, but wasn't that long ago?
Yeah, it was. I know. I couldn't believe that.
It's one of the best interviews you've ever done with Strummer.
Oh, man. That's such a bummer, Joe Strummer. I mean, he was... Strummer the bummer!
Wow, 2002.
Was it 2002?
With us.
He died! That was a lot longer ago than I thought.
Yeah. And the Clash had been done for maybe 18 years by then. I mean, it's just so weird to think about. Mother Love Bone.
Oh, God, yeah.
Apple.
Yeah. Yep.
The Germs, which is like, really, The Germs? Pat Smear was first band with that guy that killed himself, Darby Crash.
I don't know why. I never understood The Germs.
I didn't either. I never got it. I know there's punk people who insist, oh, yeah, it's the best punk album ever.
Yeah.
It doesn't do anything for me.
A little bit of the Germs, I think, should be them. Cool.
Don't get it. I just don't.
Don't
do it for me. Rockpile, which is a band with Nick Lowe and Dave Edmonds.
Rockpile.
Yeah, pretty nice combination. Wait, teacher, teach me. Is that the song? Falling Through the Wreckage. They have a couple of good songs. Dave Edmonds reminds me of Jeff Lynne. I can smell him on a song.
Gross.
People kind of dug Rockpile, but they only did one album. Nick Lowe was, he got around.
Murray Wilson fits every song.
He does. So does Chris Klein.
He does, yeah.
Then we go to Blind Faith, Eric Clapton, Steve Winwood, one album with the naked girl in the front, which was a great album.
Weird, yeah.
Then The Laws. I can't believe
no!
The Laws. I love The Laws. I love The Laws. How could they not do a second album?
Their biggest advocate.
Seriously. Well, I know Liam Gallagher loves them. He loves The Laws. And I love Oasis.
Nice comeback. Liam Gallagher likes The Laws.
I'm not the only one that likes The Laws. I can't be.
Between The Laws and Pylon, jeez.
Pylon. No, I do not love Pylon like I like the Pylon are not even close to The Laws.
I don't know what the
same
hell
universe
is.
Either a massive, what's the name of the
there
massive?
She goes. Yeah.
There she goes. There she goes.
It's been in commercials, I think. It's been in multiple commercials.
Oh, yeah. L-A-apostrophe-S.
Yeah.
Yes. Temple of the Dog, one album.
Yeah. Well, it's a tribute album to Mother Love Bone, to Andy. Yeah.
But it's a nice combination.
Such a good album.
Johnny Thunders and the Heartbreakers, yeah. LAMF, loud as a motherfucker! And that's in my zone, too. The Modern Lovers with Jonathan Richman, that was a 76, I think. And that's one of those ones I always read about. I never really listened to it.
Never even heard of it.
I just don't know if I'm a Modern Lovers fan or not, because
seriously.
I don't know why I never made it to my zone.
Who's in this band?
Modern Lovers?
Yeah. Did you just say it and I just spaced out?
No.
Is there anybody in this band?
Oh, Jonathan Richman. Yes, I did say it.
Okay, that's what I thought.
I mean, I know there's somebody right now going, oh my God, they're so good! Like two people, I would guess. wrapping up the list is Lauryn Hill, The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill.
Huge album.
It was a big album.
Yeah, Killing Me Softly. Well,
I think it won Album of the Year.
Yeah.
Jeff Buckley, Grace. I always thought Jeff Buckley was
overrated.
Overrated.
Yeah.
Because, you know, his father was Tim Buckley, who was jazz blues? I think he was a bluesy guy, but he was very well respected. So Jeff comes along. He's a great guitar player. And I don't know. He was really... I read a book about him. It's called Dream Brothers. It's about Tim and Jeff because they both died around the same age. Really good book.
I never understood why his version of Hallelujah became a
thing. I don't either. I really don't. But he was such a snob. Like, record companies were approaching him, and he's like, I will not accept any compromising whatsoever. And it's like, but
Hallelujah.
You haven't put anything out. Eventually, it worked to his advantage. He got a big offer from a label, and he... finally went and recorded some stuff.
Then he went for a swim.
Yeah. I don't understand that either. I almost feel like he committed suicide.
He seems like he's one of the... well, some people think he did commit suicide doing it, right?
Yeah, yes.
So that's a weird way to commit suicide.
It really is. It sucks.
What was the Mississippi?
Yeah, it was the Mississippi. He was in Memphis, I believe.
Yeah.
And it runs right through town, and I think he and a bandmate just went for a little dunk. And
he was fully clothed, though.
Yeah, he was fully clothed. He had boots on, too. And he drifted out like he wanted to drift out. And then the next thing you know, it's like, Jeff!
Well, who doesn't like a lazy river? I mean, I don't blame him for drifting out.
I don't think the river was that lazy.
Oh. There's so many tributes to him, too. There's a whole list of them here online.
I know. I think. I feel like the
hallelujah.
World.
Hallelujah.
He's a musician.
The world needs to get over Jeff Buckley.
Hallelujah.
Too soon.
Hallelujah.
Sorry.
Too soon.
Derek and the Dominoes, of course. Hallelujah. Eric Clapton, and a bunch of Duane Allmans on that. I mean, that's an incredible album. And finally, the Sex Pistols. Mm. One album. How can that be? But, you know, like...
Oh, that does seem a little
I know,
odd.
It seems crazy. I don't, you know, I don't...
Self-destructive, so maybe.
They were. I don't know how well that album actually sold. It probably over the years has sold well. I bet it's something like gold or gold. I don't know.
That's a fun list.
Yeah. No, I like these music lists. Klimek Law, it's no secret. Things have been crazy, as in crazy bad for some people. And, you know, the $600 a week unemployment is ending soon. And there's a lot of... financial issues people are facing, some more desperate than others. Attorney Ted Klimek is someone who knows the options that maybe you should look at if you are interested in Chapter 7 liquidation or Chapter 13 restructuring. Nobody wants to be in this situation, but it happens. And who better to talk to than somebody who listens to the podcast, like Tad.
Yep.
Tad's helped ease the anxiety of several listeners. He's even earned the nickname the Human Xanax for the weight he can take off your shoulders. Consultations are free. Nope. Personal hearings now, so everything's on the phone, video. So go to KlimekLawOffice.com. That's K-L-I-M-M-E-K, lawoffice.com. If you're feeling the pressure, visit K-L-I-M-M-E-K, lawoffice.com. Have a chat with them right away. Know your options before you have none. So there you go.
Great lawyer.
And is that the last one?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I think it is. Mm. Well. Okay. I did Royal Oak, right? Yeah.
Yes, you did.
Okay. Have you guys seen the Coney Island shooting?
There's video of it?
Yeah.
Oh, no, yeah. I haven't.
I saw it this morning.
Oh, no.
Charlie mentioned it in his story, and I think he did it in a tweet. And he said, I don't want to put the video up here. If you want to see it, it's out there. It is just...
Brandon, queued up.
Incredible.
Which Coney is this?
I'm not sure. It's in Detroit.
It is in Detroit, yeah. Yeah, that's it, on the 19th.
Is this like, am I going to not want to look at this?
Oh, you're fine.
Well, I don't know. You're kind of soft. Maybe not.
Volume.
All right, sorry.
This is just, no, it's terrible. It's horrible. I'm not urging people to watch it. It's just like the most brutal thing.
Who should I keep an eye on here?
The guy in the red T-shirt is just going to go off and shoot this guy in the head.
The one in the front?
Yeah.
There's two.
Wait, what happened? You were just on it.
Well, that's a short one. I want to see if this is a longer one. That one also didn't have audio.
Oh, you want the dance mix version, Brandon?
The guy in the front?
Yeah, the guy in the red shirt. He's right by the counter.
Okay, yeah.
And he's just going to put the gun up to somebody's head and end them.
Oh, my God.
I know. And then he's going to shoot two more people.
Why?
I don't know. Oh, there you go. Boom.
Oh, my God. That's awful.
I know.
Jesus
Christ. Isn't
that
fucking incredible? And then he shoots them. They're on the ground. He shoots them again.
He
did not hit
the eye.
Oh, shit.
Oh, look at his eye, bro.
What the fuck?
We gotta help him.
No.
They gotta help him. Hey, somebody get some tissue. They gotta help him.
Is your sister shallow thought?
Yeah.
Why is he wearing a mask for COVID if he was just gonna shoot a bunch of people?
He is wearing a mask?
Yeah, he's wearing... Well, I'm sure it's to conceal his identity. It's
oh,
not for COVID.
Okay.
I'm guessing.
Guy just puts the gun right up that guy's head.
Yeah, what's the... Any background on this? Did he get in a fight with those two guys?
I don't know, because they all look like they're just peacefully ordering food. And then all of a sudden, oh, Jesus Christ. I mean, it is really quite a jarring thing to see.
Yeah. How many?
I mean, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say about it. It's like,
how many killed?
I just wondered if you guys had seen it, and
I had not. No.
Now I feel bad for making you see it.
No, it's all right. I don't mind looking at that stuff.
I don't like it.
Doesn't make it not happen.
No, it's not going to change, but you know, it's sort of
I'm a little desensitized.
Maybe a little bit of a touchdown in terms of what's going on right now, which is a whole lot of bullshit. I mean, what's with these quadruple shootings? And I mean, honestly, what's going on?
I don't know. I don't know. Are people just agitated and fed up with everything?
I feel like people are a little crazy right now, and I understand there's a lot of crazy stuff going on, but some people maybe take it a little further than others, and then you get these assholes like the biker racist.
Oh,
he's all over the place.
Yeah.
I mean, these things, it's like you see these things 10 times a day. I mean, how could you not think, oh my God, the whole world is racist? Look at this guy. He's just riding his bike by a girl on a skateboard who's Asian. He spits on her. Yeah. Calls her name, and then apparently did it to a couple more people, and I guess he was arrested. It's in Canada, though.
I just feel like this Coney Island shooting, because, you know, I saw Chief Craig saying, hey, yeah, the lockdown order, stay at home, people don't have jobs right now, they're antsy. I think this would have happened anyway.
Probably.
I don't think that guy really cares about COVID or a lockdown order.
No.
I don't think he cares about much, to tell you the truth.
And then yesterday, protesters shut down Van Dyke and 23. They were lying in the road, stopping traffic, which pissed people off big time.
Never stop traffic.
And they're protesting the police chief from Shelby Township, whose suspension ended.
Mm.
And I was thinking, wow, people are really keeping track of that? I mean, he suspended 30 days for it was a tweet.
Yeah. Do you think he felt like I felt in
with the zoo?
No. I just, when I saw the story, I'm like, I thought we've already adjudicated this, and he was suspended, and we're moving on. I guess that wasn't enough for the mob.
You know, I feel like there must be something in the story that I don't know, because when he was suspended, I was kind of, I don't know, I just felt like it was a little much, and then I thought, well, you know, he learned a lesson.
Yeah.
He kept his job, so that's okay. You know, maybe it'll teach other people, like the school board president of
Northville.
Yeah. But apparently didn't teach him anything.
Why is he doubling down?
I don't know.
I hope he's doubling down.
I think they had a meeting last night, and about half the people just want him the fuck out.
Yeah, so now he's in the way of getting stuff done.
So the Shelby Township guy, as I remember it, and this really upset me at the time, because I just thought it was so stupid, because he reacted very viscerally, which, you know, as police chief, you shouldn't. But it was a video of these people who were trying to save their store from looters. Mm-hmm. And this guy came up and beat this one. It was a woman over the head, I believe, with a 2x4. And so I think the police chief retweeted that and said, boy, if I get in on this one, there better be some body bags or something to that effect. And I think he used a fake Twitter handle, too.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that was the most confusing thing to me, is how did this guy's burner account, his fake anonymous social media, how did he get caught with it, number one? Number two, why did he have it? I do understand.
I don't know. Honestly, I'm so sick of people not standing by their own words. I mean, if there's anything I'm pissed off at him about, it's like, look, why don't you say it?
Yeah.
And at the time, the reason it upset me, and honestly, I don't really feel that strong about it now. I felt like the outrage was like on behalf of the people using the 2x4 to beat the woman. Like, how dare you say you would use body bags on them, or they need body bags? I mean, it seemed like just a misplaced outrage. But, you know, it was on another account. Probably a dumb thing to do. It was. But I don't know. Did he do more than that? Is there something else?
Let's see. Called people barbarians, subhumans.
Same stretch of tweets.
Yeah.
And those were the same people who looted that store after beating up the owners in front. One of them was a woman.
Here's one. Trump threatening to deploy the military. Oh, shit. Where do you go? I have a better idea. Unleash real cops and let them take care of these barbarians. I promise it'll be over in 24 hours. Please. Cops are crippled by politicians and the media. And then he also wrote, wild savages, I wish to God I would have been their body bags for these vicious subhumans.
Well, again, outrage on behalf of those people. It seems a little, I don't know. Whatever.
No, just the second one was in reference to the people attacking the store owner.
Oh, okay.
The first one just showed screenshots of a Black Lives Matter protest. I mean, not really what I think you would want a police chief tweeting about, especially under a burner account.
Well, that to me, but it's like if it's not so, okay for your account, then you shouldn't tweet it.
So give him a warning, 30-day suspension, and we're moving on. But now no. We're not moving on again. So I don't know what the protesters want.
And then here's the thing. They end up marching to the police precinct, or the police station, and they graffiti the place.
Oh, great.
And so the cops have to come out and clean it up. And I think I was watching Channel 4, and I'm trying to remember the guy's name, did the story. He asked about, you know, why did you let them put graffiti on the building? And they're like, oh, you know, we knew we could get it off. It's one of these things where the police are so minimized.
But I kind of agree with them. It's like, it's just graffiti. We'll fix it later.
Yeah, I know. But these are adults graffitiing a place. I don't know. I give up.
Are you saying they're subhuman?
No, I'm not going to say they're subhuman. I'm going to say laws seem to be very optional these days. And that worries me because, you know, that's a fine line. And somebody, I've had a number of people send me the Grant Park thing, which is fucking disgusting. In fact, I saw a complete thing with play-by-play where it shows, I didn't realize this, the protest is in another part of Grant Park. And then all of a sudden, all these umbrellas come up, and everyone gets under the umbrellas and dresses in black. They, like, change their clothes to all black, and then they run over the statue, and the cops are surrounding it, and they start throwing, people are, like, dropping, they've got multiple frozen bottles of water. Mm-hmm. And fireworks and all that, and it's just this is I don't have words. Mm. It's just really upsetting. I mean that's not going to solve anything.
No, God no.
And those cops didn't do anything. So, boy. Anyway, Brandon, I sent you something yesterday that I thought was really interesting and. It probably shows the mindset of some of the people out there. The girl who is telling the black cop that he's systemically racist.
Come on.
White girl telling a black cop. First, she cusses out the white cop who says, hold on, I'm calling my black wife. And she says, having a black friend or a black wife doesn't mean you're not racist.
I'm glad she has it all figured out. I'm glad she knows these people really well.
I know. I just want to fucking kill this girl.
Whoa. Are you saying she's subhuman?
Yes, I am. Do you see it, Brandon, where I sent it to you?
Yeah, I got to find it. Hold on a second. You sent it to my text message. I can't bring text up on the computer.
Fuck, I'm sorry.
So, what's one it moment, from? Please.
I'm not sure what it was from. It's probably a couple weeks ago.
He's 20-year-old white
I just wanted to, this young white chick who knows it all, you know, has all the buzzwords, and this black cop... I just feel so bad for him and really for all the black cops who have to deal with this. Imagine, I mean, they're probably as upset as anyone over these things that have happened that should not have, and they have to take the shit for it. But, you know, people suggest that, you're systemically a part of it.
Oh, boy.
I'm trying to find it. Sorry, the last place. There it is. The last place was it was taken down for some reason.
This is Portland. What is this?
I'm gonna have a conversation.
That's the black guy.
Oh, because I can't be racist, right?
No, sir. I'm talking to him.
Yeah, exactly.
Systemically, racism can only be white. Systemically, sir. Individually, it can be a different color, but systemically, it can only be white. It's not an agenda, sir. It's not an agenda. It's the past, the present, and hopefully not the future, sir.
Okay, keep going.
How can I be? I'm in white. I'm inherently
racist. You just called him a liar. And you have a black wife and black children. You're still a liar.
Yeah, yeah.
You're
young.
I want to see a picture of you.
Don't even engage the idiot.
No, you don't know nothing about him.
Well, you get the idea. The white cop.
Did you guys see me win that conversation?
The white cop is making a phone call, which he says, "I'm going to call my wife, who is black," and then she says, "Just because you have a black friend or a black wife doesn't mean you're not racist."
She should have just said, "Prove it."
Then the black cop comes up and he starts talking to her, and then they just start moving away. It's like, I don't want to listen to shit. Yeah. I mean, I don't blame him. She's, "Oh, well, just one person telling the truth," and you start moving away. And the black cop comes back and engages her and says, "You're a one track mind. You're not willing to have a conversation. You're just barking at us."
The only winner in that whole video is her boyfriend or husband, who's sitting at home alone because he has to deal with her right now.
Oh boy,
he's probably just relieved she's out
on the
street. I
mean, what a clapping trap that was! Oh, I mean, my God!
He's like, "Oh, about time someone else has to deal with that."
Jeez. So yeah, that's Yikes. Not all. What else?
Ghislaine's back in the news.
Yeah, she spent $25,000 to trash the victims.
That's that Jacob Wall. Remember the
total asshole. I know. I hate him.
He's just bad news. I mean, he is really fake news. But she paid him $25,000 and Jack Berkman to get, I guess, trash or to trash the U.S. attorney in New York.
Yeah, and the victims.
Who led the Epstein case. That's crazy, man.
I didn't realize there were people who specialized in getting out fake news.
Yeah. Well, remember, they're the ones that had the fake press conference where everyone just starts peppering them with questions like, "Well, where's this woman you're claiming sexually harassed Robert Mueller or whoever it is?" Or
I'm just sick of all these people. The Wall Lake basketball coach, blown out. And this guy's very popular. I read a long story about it. He's a beloved kind of guy. He's a baseball coach. I think he teaches something else.
He went to Michigan, too, according to his Twitter bio. There has to be a lot more to this story than just that tweet.
I don't know.
That's what I don't like about this story is that it's just, this guy's fired because of this tweet. Same reason I don't like the story about that judge locked up the girl because she didn't do her homework. There's always so much more to the story.
I can already tell you what's going on with the Walled Lake one.
What?
It's not just the one tweet where he says Trump is your president.
Yeah, he says, "I'm done being silent. Trump is our president." The point is, go back to school, I think. Isn't that the point of his tweet?
I don't know. I mean, it simply just said, "I'm done being silent. At real Donald Trump is our president. Don't at me." But other people went and found other tweets that were just divisive. Ones that just said, like, "I hate liberals." And I don't know, a whole bunch of different things that they screenshot and threw out there, too.
Oh, okay.
So is this a thing?
I only saw the one. I didn't realize that.
Is this a thing where? Because you would think too, he'd be in a union, and you think that
the union would go to bat for
him. You would think Trump would be, wouldn't he be fairly popular in Walled Lake?
All right, sorry. I mean, who knows? It says liberals suck. So I mean, it's just a divisive thing.
Is that it though? I mean, two tweets really?
I just find it hard to believe that that's it. Unless there was stuff where they, you know, he said, "You please do not tweet about this stuff." Or maybe there's they can't just fire a teacher over one tweet.
I know. I wrote a very long story about it. And now I'm kind of wondering who did that story. I think it was a local paper, like a local Walled Lake paper or something. Anyway, it went on and on about quoting kids, quoting parents, saying he's a down the middle kind of guy. He does not preach politics at school, in class.
One of the is it from the Washington Free Times?
Yeah, that might be it.
They quoted one student, and then you click on the link to where her quote is, and it's a non-existent Twitter. So I don't know if she took it down or what's going on, but I don't know. There's a lot more to this story. I just want to know what it is. Well, maybe it was just simply one tweet.
I don't know if he was the one pointing this out. I don't really think it was, but in the story they said that there's plenty of teachers who are tweeting stuff from the other side.
Well, no doubt, but that's why I'm wondering if there's something more to it. Once again,
well, I always think that, and half the time there really isn't that much more.
You know, no doubt.
I
So I just think this business,
this whole cancellation thing is just fucking crazy. I mean, it's just fucking crazy. I don't get it. It's not enough until somebody's just put out of work and humiliated and forever on the internet. They have to live with that. I mean, this guy.
I wonder if he was tweeting about schools opening and they said, can you please not tweet about anything political or schools opening right now until we figure it out? But he talked to that one paper and said that I know a lot of people are rooting for Trump to fail, and I don't think anybody should do that, which who wouldn't agree with? Well, there's some idiots that would disagree with that. Agree with him or not, you should not want the president to do well. I apologize that my tweet brought so much negative attention, but I'm not sorry for what I said. But then the superintendent said that there's been no disciplinary action taken as a result of any support of President Trump, and we're unable to comment.
Oh, I thought he was blown out.
On specific staff discipline or personnel matters. So, which just leads you to believe that there's a lot more to it.
Okay, he is fired.
That just comes from the Fox Business website.
Okay.
Yeah, and the more I scroll, I'm not seeing any additional ones besides that one that says liberals suck, which was just a comment from another. I don't even know when it happened. I don't see additional ones now that I'm looking at it.
It doesn't matter now because the storyline's out there that this is why he's fired. And
it's social media. I mean, social media is so stupid. I hate how it can just cost you your gig. It's ridiculous.
I know. It's just.
But I was just watching. They had another story on Kanye, and I was tweeting about Chris Kardashian. And I started thinking about it. I'm like, does Kanye think Twitter is like his text? And he just walks on there to people, realizing
he has
that
a
everyone...
really long tweet storm
That's
about
what
this.
I mean. I feel like he was trying to text Chris Kardashian, and he ended up
maybe she'll
it all.
See it on Twitter before she'll see it on a text message. Who knows?
Probably a lot of truth to that.
Good God, it's all just fucking crazy. So we got to activate the ABNN. Big news on the ABNN.
Oh yeah, sad man.
This here is breaking news on the ABNN.
Happy 38th birthday.
The Antonio Brown News Network.
From your boy, AB number 84.
Stand by for some booming breaking news. Shit.
Booming.
Okay. Antonio Brown has retired from the NFL for the second time. Anybody buying this?
Retiring because nobody wants him. Is it almost a forced retirement?
I read Seattle was interested in him. But no one knows. They never have said if he is to be punished or suspended. That never came down. I mean, how long does it take to investigate something?
I don't think that they were going to announce it if he wasn't on a roster. For example, if Seattle were to maybe assign him, then they would say, okay, he's going to be suspended for 8 games for all the crap.
So maybe he had an idea what it was going to be and just said, oh, fuck you.
Possibly, but, I mean, or a team just doesn't want to take a chance on him because they know they're going to miss him for half the season, and then just pray that he's good the second half.
He's awfully good player to just kiss it goodbye. I figured he would, you know, because didn't he plead guilty to his stupid thing with the movers? Didn't he sort of apologize and?
He did punch that dude right in the like.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's fucking nuts.
At least he has so much more free time now to do Cameo.
Happy 38th birthday. And I hear this your second anniversary.
Wedding.
I hear you've been working really hard as a defense attorney, and your birthday is here. Happy birthday. We celebrate you today. Hope your birthday is booming.
Now, shouldn't he have hired this person that bought that Cameo to be his defense attorney?
That's a thought. If I give him a good price. But he doesn't pay people, remember?
Would you want to hire a defense attorney who bought a Cameo from... Hey, okay.
I don't think so. The San Francisco Giants, speaking of sports...
They
had some players kneeled. And, you know, honestly, I didn't see that many people who were actually tweeting. It was the hashtag boycott Giants or something. And all I saw was people going, what kind of an asshole? But I mean, it was like all these people ragging on a very few people who were saying that. But maybe it was a bigger deal than I thought.
No, I thought the exact same thing this morning, Drew, because when
I couldn't understand why it was trending because I didn't see many people actually saying it.
Yeah, when I scrolled through trends and I was like, okay, let's see, boycott the MLB. What's this all about? It's just starting up. And so I did the exact same thing. I clicked it. I read through about 40 tweets and each one of them said, for all you people saying boycott the MLB, then blah, 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 blah. I didn't see anybody actually saying boycott the MLB. I just saw responses to people saying, if you are saying it, oh, fuck you.
Yeah.
I was most curious about what Aubrey Huff would be more mad about, kneeling for the anthem or the fact that a female was actually on the field coaching.
Yeah.
Remember that female that he originally tweeted?
Oh, she was, what was she doing, coaching third base or something?
I can't remember. Well, it was either third or first, but what do you think he would have been more upset about?
I'm going to say kneeling.
I think kneeling, because he had a tweet 16 hours ago that said, Alyssa Nakin has more balls than some San Francisco Giants players because she's standing during the anthem.
Oh, God.
Whatever. Oh, and guess what? He just released a video. You want to hear a video from him?
Always. Always.
America's pastime has officially gone woke, led by none other than the social justice warrior champion San Francisco Giants. I'm sure a lot of you have already seen that several of their players, including their manager Gabe Kapler, knelt for the national anthem yesterday in Oakland, California. You know, Gabe, if you cared as much about wins as you did about social justice warriors points, you'd be a hell of a lot better manager. I'm sick of this shit. You know, I just got off the phone with a current player, and he told me that Major League Baseball is giving every player the option of wearing a Black Lives Matter patch on their jersey for the remainder of the season. He obviously doesn't want to wear one. He just wants to play baseball. He's not a politician. He's not a social justice warrior. Shame on you, Major League Baseball, for putting players in this position. Because if they choose not to wear it, they're going to be automatically deemed a racist, even though the Black Lives Matter organization is a terrorist organization. You know, black lives do matter, but the organization is a terrorist organization. Look it up.
How long is he going to do this?
Forever, you know,
fans,
he's really
just
leaning into it.
Go to sporting events. They want to watch their favorite athletes play.
Wrong.
Sports used to be a distraction from the outside world. The politics.
I do agree
with social justice warrior stances, the riots, the looting. They don't want to be reminded of watching a game and what they're trying to escape every time they watch a game by seeing social justice warrior stances, Black Lives Matter patches, whatever.
But athletes pushing for
now
equality
I know why
is
so
not
many
a new thing.
Players across Major League Baseball have opted out of the 2020 season.
They, the NBA guys are choosing names, you know, from I Can't Breathe.
Don't get me wrong.
To Breonna Taylor. The court has a big Black Lives Matter on it.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to turn off a lot of people who don't want to fucking think about that when they're watching a basketball game.
Well, I think it's silly. How often have we talked about, oh, the NBA has cured everything or the NFL has cured everything by doing this. But as far as athletes saying something or wearing a patch, that's not that new of a thing, is it?
I don't remember people wearing social justice stuff on their jerseys, really. I mean,
no,
usually if
that,
they do, it's because somebody died, you know, like Mike Ilitch died. I mean, that's all I can think of. I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something.
And here's the other thing. Is it really that distracting? I mean, if you're watching it, you're going to be, oh, can't believe that,
well,
that guy is a Black Lives Matter.
There's, I mean, if you really want to dig into it, I think Black Lives Matter is a very, it's a very mixed thing. A lot of people
whatever
behind it.
Whatever the message
but there's
is.
A lot of people who are not behind it. They feel it's a political thing. The money goes to candidates that they don't. Decide that they don't want.
Okay, say it's a message of.
And also, a lot of people are really sick of the whole business being directed at police. When you see what's happening
right,
in the neighborhoods.
Forget that example. Forget it. Just say it's any example of a social commentary. Say it's all lives matter. Is it really going to.
Well,
really
all lives matter, people would be shot over that.
All right. Well, I'm trying to think of an example.
I don't think the NBA needs to be in the business.
Say it's a MAGA. Say someone's wearing a MAGA and you're watching the game. Is it really going to bother you that much?
Oh, it's going to bother a lot of people. Absolutely.
Asking you.
Me?
Yeah.
If somebody's wearing MAGA?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't
MAGA.
Want. I don't.
Okay.
And this is nothing about how I feel about Donald Trump. I don't want somebody wearing a fucking campaign ad on their jersey.
It doesn't bother me.
We can't say make America great again because I already did that.
And honestly.
It's not going to make me not want to watch a sport or
every
escape.
Time,
I'm not going to sit there and go, oh, I can't handle it. It's same with advertising when people get so bent out of shape because there's an ad on a jersey now. It's like, so what?
I think people generally, you know, get used to that. And they may get used. Maybe they'll get used to this. I don't know.
What if you don't like the company?
I hated when the kneeling thing started and fans were booing. And it was like, what a shitty way to start the game. And then they took it off TV, I think, and we just sort of forgot about it. Didn't we?
I just think if you're that affected by seeing a message, whatever the message is, then maybe you want to be a little offended by it or upset by it if you're watching a sport.
I don't think so. I don't want to be aligned with Aubrey Huff. But I think a lot of people really want escape from sports. It's something where you don't have to think about that shit. And believe me, Black Lives Matter, COVID-19. It's like, I don't want, if I can watch something like a good documentary, like that Shannon Hoon thing I watched, or
I
the movie,
that,
you know, all that stuff just floats away. But when I watch and it's, you know,
so if you're watching
it, you
see it
over,
you, all of a sudden you're like, oh, that's right, that's still going on in the world.
I don't. Really, I just don't want to think about it when I watch the sports. And I don't think I'm alone at all. I think there's
a
lot of people.
I don't think you are
way.
Either. I just, I don't get it.
It's not that I'm mad at the BLM people or I'm mad at MAGA. It's like, just get this out of my fucking basketball game. And honestly, the NBA in particular and the NFL in large part have become so judgy and social justice-y.
Sure.
And I just don't like that.
I don't like it either, but it's not going to make me not want to watch something that I want to watch. Or not let me
but
escape.
I think once something becomes political, it will lose a little bit of popularity. I'm not saying people are going to all just abandon it, but no, because most people that want to watch basketball watch basketball.
I think that's kind of my point.
But But here's the thing. This is what the exact same way I felt in 20 whatever the year was when that all came out. Is first of all, when people booed, they started getting preached to, like, you fuckers booing, you don't understand, or you don't, you know, it's not, there's nothing wrong with kneeling, and people are entitled to feel however they want, and a lot of people did not like it. Whether that means they're racists, or they love the flag, or, you know, whatever it might be. But Drew Brees stuck to his guns. Look how long he did until the whole league beat the shit out of him.
But that meant that you couldn't enjoy something because of that?
People were at the game. They were at the game booing, but those are your customers. Yeah. Do you really want your customers to have this kind of shitty feeling?
I'm just surprised from an individual aspect that would be enough to really offend people to where they can't escape.
Well, I guarantee it does.
I guarantee it does.
And
I don't understand it.
I'm sure it's some a lot more than others. And I bet there's a lot of people say, oh, I'll never watch up. You know, although I didn't see that much about the Giants today. I thought that was a really overblown Twitter
trend. They had
trend.
A woman on the field. Ugh.
You know, I didn't even know there was a woman on the field, honestly.
That's because they knelt. It was a great diversion. It was a great red herring. You can only be mad at one thing at a time.
Yeah, I guess I... Have baseball been kneeling? I haven't even seen or heard about it.
No, they had the first... It wasn't the first guy from San Francisco, the catcher.
Buster Posey?
No.
You mean yesterday?
Oh, I'm talking like 4 years ago.
Oh,
Bruce Maxwell.
Yeah. Whatever happened to him?
I don't know. He just wasn't a very good player.
Exactly. You can get away with a lot more if you're good.
I honestly like the jersey names. I can't breathe. I can't breathe every time somebody takes a jump shot.
Well,
and think of George Floyd. It's nothing against George Floyd, but I mean,
Drew, this is what gets people about the jersey names. The fact that there's a list of them, and you can only put out certain things, certain narratives. So if someone wanted to put, you know, maybe there's an NBA player whose father is a police officer and his cousin's a police officer, and he wants to put blue lives
matter.
He's not allowed to do that.
Well, no, you can't do that.
Hong Kong.
And James Harden had a blue lives. Did he have a blue lives matter thing on?
He didn't know.
He had a mask on. He thought it looked cool, and he got ripped to shreds.
Mm. You know. So you can't have – this is what I hate is when people insist you must comply with this opinion or else. And in James Harden's case, I don't know what he was doing, if he knew or he didn't know, or he's saying he didn't know or he really didn't know. But what the fuck?
Yeah.
He's not allowed to – I mean, he would not be allowed to wear that? He's not allowed to support cops? It's not like you can't support both.
He can wear it.
Well, he can, but he took a lot of shit from I mean, I thought that was pretty universal. I'm sure some police liked it.
But to Brandon's point, it's like, yeah, it seems to lose its punch when there's a pre-approved list of things you can say.
Well, absolutely it does. I mean,
there's
that's
just one. Yeah, there's only certain narratives that you can take. There's only certain messages that you can get out there. And I think
they voted on them. They actually had a long list, and they just eliminated ones they didn't want, and they left. You know, because somebody wanted to put something else on. I don't remember what it was. I don't think it was something far right or anything, but... they said, nah.
How many players are really going to do that?
I don't know.
The court has a giant Black Lives Matter, though. It really does.
Well, I told you before, everyone in the Premier League had it on their back, like where their nameplate was.
Oh, in soccer?
Yeah.
Okay. Hmm.
Are you going to be upset now that Major League Baseball's allowed so many ads on the field? Have you seen that?
You know, I don't know. There's a part of me that says, you know, how much fucking money do you need?
Well, right now, those owners.
Yes, I know.
As much as they can get, which is why it's only for this season, but they approved it like in foul territory. But I saw online a bunch of people are upset because Wrigley Field, of all places, Wrigley Field has ads in the bleachers.
Well, you know, they've had that Torkel Oil sign above right field forever. They've got the Budweiser, the 720 WGN in left field. Those have been up there forever. You see them every time somebody bangs one.
But not a Toyota one or National Bank.
Oh, God.
Or Nuveen, whatever Nuveen is.
I can hardly stand it.
Sounds like Nuveen needs to advertise more.
Yeah, I think people will get over it. Cubs are always a delicate thing.
Ads are, I know, a little soft. Ads are everywhere.
So how is this new women's professional soccer team going to do in Los Angeles? Because Natalie Portman's going to be one of the owners.
The only profit they'll turn is whatever Natalie Portman's putting into it.
Okay, I saw Eva Longoria, I think Jennifer Garner, Mia Hamm, America Ferrara.
What?
Yeah, and
does it cost $1,000 to buy in?
That's what I said, Mark. I'm like, how much does this franchise cost?
Not much.
It can't be that much, can it?
No. But boy, what a bunch of cred they're getting for being so forward because they're owning a women's soccer team.
But people don't go to a game because Natalie Portman is in the owner's box. I don't think they do. Maybe they do.
No, they don't.
I guess we'll find out.
But I'm more interested in how much she really put forth for this.
I told you.
Mark,
I find them boring.
I was dying to know, and I didn't have the time to find out.
Oh, I'm going to find out. Let's see.
There's got to be some franchise
Stupid city name, too.
What is it?
WFCLA Angel City. Oh, my God. There's so many people that own this team, Drew. More than you even mentioned.
Did they buy $20 squares to buy the team?
Season tickets? Maybe they just bought season tickets.
Oh, man.
There's a venture capitalist behind it, too. The Reddit co-founder, actress Uzo Aduba.
Well, the Reddit guy could just buy it himself.
Jennifer Gardner.
Well, he wants to be in ownership with 19 other people?
Wait, all these people on here have a lot of money. They could make their own league.
You're right.
Why not?
And you know what's really I hate about this?
You're going to hate it more when I read this comment. Citing a study that found women's sports only receive, quote, 4% of sports media coverage, Natalie Portman thought she believed there was an opportunity to transform how women's soccer is perceived in America. Well, yeah, because it's not perceived right now. So if it's by mentioning that, you're already being perceived a little bit more.
Fox News, boy, they really have cleared out all those sexist guys.
Lawsuit.
And I don't know what this, the first girl, that story is ungodly sick. And there's a lot of text messages.
Yeah.
Ed Henry. What'd you say, Brandon?
Which girl?
I didn't write her name
Jennifer
down.
Jennifer Eckert.
She's beautiful.
Yeah, she's
gorgeous.
She's really hot.
And I look at Ed Henry and I go, oh, God, if that guy slept with her, I do believe there's something wrong. it's got to be forced.
Or the only way, yeah. So I was going to say, the only way you can sleep with her.
There's got to be something stinks about this.
Yeah.
And if the story is anything like she describes,
it's awful.
It's so weird. It's just, first of all, I guess I don't understand why someone would not, after all of the Me Too stuff, when it started, you'd think they'd just go, because Fox can't have that.
Nope.
But she didn't. She felt she had to capitulate to him, or she would lose her job.
Yeah, I guess he has sexually explicit photos of her, too, that he took against her will.
Yeah, God. Yeah, well, she was handcuffed, according to her.
Asked her to be his sex slave and his little, is that wench? Because it's edited out.
I couldn't figure out what that word was.
Did you ever play that game where you see where it's
is it just a W? Because I'm pretty sure that it's going to be
whore. Oh, yeah, geez, why didn't I think
that? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're right, bro. You win, Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't they print whore?
I don't know. I have no idea.
But here's the other interesting thing. In the same complaint, former Fox guest, Kathy Aruba, Aruba, alleged she was sexually harassed by Henry.
Aruba.
along with Sean Hannity, Tucker Carlson, Howard Kurtz, and Gianna Caldwell.
By the way, the Sean Hannity thing is so stupid, if it's true.
What? I didn't hear that part. What did
he put down a $100 bill on a table, and there were four guys here like, somebody take this girl out for drinks.
That's it?
Yeah.
Your money's on the dresser, baby. I'm done with you.
I mean, it just sounds so dumb. I mean, who does? First of all, who does that?
I got to say, if I was Jennifer Eckert, I don't know if I'd want that included in my lawsuit.
It's the other girl. It's the girl, the second girl.
But I thought it was I thought it was all in the same complaint against Fox.
Oh, aren't there two different girls?
There are, but I thought it was all one complaint, wasn't it?
Well, it's not. I don't think it's the Ed Henry got girl that is complaining about Sean Hannity slapping the $100 bill down.
Mm. Yeah, nope. It's the Irigu.
Well, it says
Sean Hannity carries $100 bills around. That's pretty cool.
But after going through records, then it says in the same complaint, former Fox guest Kathy Aru. Bo.
There is no B.
No, I know.
Well, she's clicked all of the... She's got Tucker Carlson on there, yeah. And
Carlson,
Sean just, Hannity. Carlson, what, Tucker Carlson made advances, which she refused, she said, I think.
Yeah. He suggested that they go out or have a sexual relationship after she was on the show.
I can't believe people. I mean, honestly, I would never think of doing that.
You know, that's how I used to always score at work. I would say, hey, would you like to go outside for a sexual relationship outside? Mm.
You were great on the show. I'd love to have a sexual relationship with you. Not much more, but just that.
Who would want to put their penis in a coworker?
And somebody. And there's like, I don't know, 1 out of 10 that will go, okay. I mean, I just.
They worked together and they played together.
I think the problem is this Henry guy.
Oh my God! Jennifer Eckert is a knockout.
I know she is such a knockout. She's got some pretty sexy posts. I got to say, I mean, it's inappropriate at this time to say that, but I'm just going to say it anyway, and I apologize.
That was a serious sister cell.
It was. There's one really nice picture of her.
In during her final, this is the other girl, Kathy Aru. In her final 28 appearance on Tucker Carlson show, she alleges that she was kept on set by a tech crew. So they're all complicit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they wouldn't take her mic off. She can't take her own microphone off, so she's trapped.
It's not the microphone. It's the earpiece. And anybody that's, what is it, the IFB or whatever?
Yeah.
You just do this.
Right.
And then you can't hear it anymore.
If she was so scared, I don't know. Whatever. I mean, I don't want to say I know how she feels, but.
She needs to turn off her comment section on Instagram, that's for sure.
What's going on, Brandon?
No. Oh, my God. I'm telling you, every single one of her. There's
is this Jennifer?
Jumping out of Jennifer Marie. On Instagram. You need to DM me for a collab.
Collab. Oh, fuck off.
You are so cute in those shorts. You make everything look good, fire emoji.
Boy.
Mm. Wow, man. She is beautiful.
Yeah.
What is she posting, Brandon? What is
she'll post? She'll post pictures on the beach and stuff like that. And
oh, in a bikini?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah. Here, let me bring it up on this computer so you can see.
That's going to happen.
Well, it's Instagram. Oh, what do you expect?
Well, I wouldn't expect a Fox News person to be posting pictures like that. I mean, I don't. I really don't give a shit.
I mean, she's an attractive female in the news business.
Oh, boy. Yeah, she is. Wow. Oh, my God.
Oh, God. Let me read her, read her post comment, though, to
You're
explain.
On my beach.
I'm going back to New York City.
Yeah, finish reading it. Go ahead.
With some much-needed sand in my shoes.
No one's looking at your feet, honey.
Okay. Yeah, that was just a couple weeks ago, so.
Read a few more, Brandon.
Things are going good. Oh, you look like fire in pink.
God.
Oh, DM me, please.
You're right.
Lovely smile. Lovely bikini. Nice jugs.
God, what the fuck are these people?
Is that from Ed Henry?
No, it's from SHN213.
Nice jugs.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry. It's just so stupid. All of it. Why do I need... I'll never understand this. Why would I need 6,000 pictures of this girl? Because every picture's a selfie, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, a picture of her, but yeah.
You know... I don't get
her
it.
Her boyfriend's taking all those pictures, whoever it is.
Seriously?
Probably. Instagram boyfriend. Well, this one, she's taking a selfie with her kitty cat, but she's showing just major cleavage. And here's one person that says, oh, consider my paw raised.
That's what they even mean. Creep.
I don't know. She's beautiful, though. And yeah, yes, she is. What happened to her was not right. So.
No. How many followers, Brandon?
It looks like about 16,000 on Instagram, about 9,000 on Twitter.
She'll have a whole bunch more now. People get to that.
She is a national TV journalist, producer, radio personality, a public speaker, and advocate. She's also a cat mom of the 2020 March Meowdness Champion.
Now, this is a civil lawsuit, too, so I wonder if there's any criminal charges for him, because if he did what she said, how can there not be?
By the way, I was watching nighttime TV, and Anderson Cooper was on, and this happens to me a lot of nights if I happen to have it on. I'm getting annoyed by, I don't know who, they had three people on. It was just an annoying conversation. I flip over to Fox, and there's this girl filling in, beautiful, by the way, filling in for whoever's opposite, what's his name? Anderson Cooper.
What time's Cooper on?
I don't know, but there's a female filling in for whoever's on, and I'm like, she just didn't seem up to snuff.
Oh.
I mean, I assume they have to hire different people for, but I was like, really? They can't get somebody who's a little more polished?
Well, they have.
I mean, I hate beating up on people.
6 p.m., yeah, but, they hey. Got, they have Brett Baer to Martha McCallum to Tucker Carlson to Sean Hannity to Laura Ingraham, and then I think wraps up with Shannon Bream.
This was a fill-in.
Okay.
Oh, well, Tucker's been off.
And they played like a best of somebody, best of Tucker, or maybe it was best of, I guess you're fine, Tucker.
Well, Tucker, he just, yesterday, I think he popped off about an article that's about to be published on him in the New York Times. Apparently, there was a person that they found out was going to write a story about Tucker Carlson and where he lives. I don't know the context of the story. We'll probably find out more this week. But Tucker was very upset, and so he kind of like put the writer of the article and the photographer on blast, and they immediately got doxxed.
Aww.
So like he responded to a story written about him being doxxed by doxing the people who.
Whoops.
Yeah. So
was that his intention?
Well, I think you assume if you put someone's name out there.
But, by the way, though, they said that that's not true. So I don't know. Who knows? Maybe it was true, and now it's not true.
Are you saying like New York Times said, no, we weren't going to do that story? Is that what you're saying?
Well, that's what they say now.
Okay. Well, then it might have worked for him.
Mm. Hey, you know, the only reason I thought of this is because we were joking about ridiculousness on MTV.
Oh, yeah.
Show. There was a story I read about cord cutting and how they were pointing out how down, I mean, seriously, lost chunks of audience. AMC, FX, USA, TBS, TNT. And then they reference that MTV has run, of the last 168 hours when this article was written, 113 hours of ridiculousness. I mean, how ridiculous is that? Can you fucking believe that?
Yes, I can.
That's amazing.
You know, I cut the cord and they finally added MTV. And so YouTube TV will, you know, put up things you might like or whatever. Kind of like Netflix and Hulu do it, but they do it with the channels. And they keep trying to force me to watch ridiculousness. So I'll turn it on and that will be what's on, like in the background.
Of course.
And I laughed yesterday because it's just that girl sitting on a couch laughing. Like you said, I'm like, oh my God, yes. Drew's never been more right about anything.
It's the girl laughing on the couch channel.
That's all she does. She adds nothing.
I mean, just hang it up.
That's awesome.
Are you kidding me? That's so they asked MTV about it and they said, oh, well, you're not looking at other platforms. We've got this running on Facebook and we've got this.
I don't care about that.
That's your network, though.
Yeah. That's embarrassing. And it's not a good show.
It's apparently
all
it's,
it is. It's
must be their just, best show.
It's just taking a viral video that's on the web and then watching it and laughing about it. Tosh.0 did the same thing 10 years before ridiculousness even started doing it. And then we can all do it on our cellular devices. We can all just click and watch any video that's online.
You'll be glad to know that Cackler has a new song out.
Oh, great.
She likes pictures of herself on her Instagram, too.
Oh, I'm so surprised.
Yeah.
Anyway, the number of people or is it households? Yeah, pay TV households is like 105 million at one time, and it's down to 72.7 million. So they've lost a lot.
That's unfortunate.
People. Yeah, and a lot of them are a lot of them are in the last 2 years.
Oh, cord cutters?
Yes.
I got to tell you, it's just, it's way easier. It's way easier.
What networks do you get, Mark? And how do you get them?
I get them all now. YouTube TV, but I've Hulu and Netflix and Prime. And honestly, there's nothing on.
Well, no.
Last night, there was nothing on.
Time out.
Disney Plus.
Because I came across a movie that I haven't mentioned to the audience yet on Hulu. I ran into a movie called A Good Old Fashioned Orgy.
Yeah, now, you mentioned that yesterday. I got to write that down.
No, it's on Hulu, and I'm just scrolling through, and all of a sudden I see Jason Sudeikis, and I go, oh, okay, I like it. And it's from 2011. I've never even heard of this movie. It's got Jason Sudeikis, Nick Kroll. It has Will Forte. We all love ourselves some Will Forte. And it was actually a pretty decent, stupid comedy movie. I liked it a lot.
Sounds like a great one.
Now, the only issue is you don't really want to watch this one with in-laws or children around because there's a lot of uncomfortable situations. And, you know, obviously, orgy is in the title. So be
I like that uncomfortable situation warning, Brandon.
It's like a trigger warning.
Well, there's some loud. Well, it's orgy is in the title. That's all you need to know. It's not NC-17 or anything. But it was pretty good. And I just can't believe I've never heard of it before.
Yeah.
Don Johnson's in it. His huge crank's in it.
Anybody want to guess its thermometer ratings?
Oh, I'm going to, well, Drew can't guess because he hasn't seen it.
Well, no, I can guess movies I haven't
seen. He's really good at it, though.
I'm going to guess that the critics gave it 33 and audience 51.
That seems pretty right. That's
how
what I would
do this.
I don't know. I have no idea.
35 from the critics.
Yes.
And 41 from the audience.
Okay. I was off a little bit.
You were off by, what, 14 total points? That is incredible.
Anyway, it's got this chick in it named Lake Bell, who I've never heard of before.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, what beautiful. A body that.
Yeah.
Lake Bell.
Oh my God, the body.
Who's Lake Bell?
See, I want you to guess more on the thermometer.
Hoo-wah.
What else can you guess on the Hamilton. What do you think Hamilton is on the thermometer?
Oh, no. 98. 98.
What about fans?
92.
99 and 91. There's got to be some other.
How did I know that?
Some other movies. What have you seen recently besides the Shannon Hoon doc?
Oh, I'd be interested in what the Shannon Hoon doc has.
I wonder if
does it that have. The... Probably doesn't even have.
Oh, yeah, it's on here. All I can it say is? 2019. Go ahead. No fan score, just critics.
I'll say.
It's tough.
58.
80.
Okay.
Wow.
For some reason, I just didn't think people would give it the credit I did because you started knocking the fact it was from Cameron. I thought, oh, man. Well,
but critics probably love that.
If I had another conversation with you, I would have said 80 because I liked it.
There's got to be more. Let's see. What else has been out recently?
Well, the Andy Samberg movie has to have huge. It's going to be really high. It's going to be Palm Springs. It's going to be very, very high.
I like Palm Springs. Go ahead and guess.
I'm going to say audience... 90. Critics, 86.
Critics, 93. Audience, 90. Wow. Right on the dot.
Yeah, I think that movie, if I can extend on my knowledge, I think that movie is going to get nominated for stuff.
Well, what else is going to get nominated?
I don't know.
There's nothing else out there besides Hamilton.
Is anyone making anything?
No, you know what? Some, you know that Zendaya girl?
Yeah, some people have been making them private movies.
They made a movie during COVID. I don't know how they did it.
I think they uploaded it to
Pornhub.
I remember recently there were actually a few people who were saying, you know, all these people in the entertainment industry, we're not making any money right now.
Boo hoo.
Yeah, it was kind of a big boo hoo.
Do you wonder who that girl is in Palm Springs, by the way, the main star?
Yeah, who is she?
I haven't seen her in anything.
I haven't either.
She's just adorable.
Yeah, she was. They made her hotter as the movie goes on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the end of the movie, I mean, you're really pining for her.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. pining alert. No, there's a lot to like about that movie.
Is her name Camila Mendez? Or no, that's the...
Kristen Milioti.
Kristen Milioti, yeah. Milioti.
Let me go to Mr. Skin real quick. She's
I wanted to, like, who did she look like? She looks
habit.
Like somebody.
It's so hard to quit.
She almost looks like Jennifer Love Hewitt. But she also looks like that Allison girl, the redhead Allison.
From band camp.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's funny. She does. That actually hurts her that she looks slightly like her.
I think if Jennifer Love Hewitt and Allison Hannigan were to have lesbian coitus and produce a child, I think it would be this girl, Kristen Milioti.
Only two-star nudity. She was nude in a 2009 movie called Year of the Carnivore.
It's got to be some really sketchy nudity.
It just says nude. Well, here, wait. Year of the Carnivore. Breast and bush. She's in the pool.
Yeah.
What?
Really? She was getting into a bathtub.
There's a boom. There's a bush.
Hold on. Slide thing.
Right, hopefully skin vision captures more. Let me back it
bush.
Up. Stupid.
Bush! Bush! Bush.
That's a big bush. Maybe she gets out of the pool here, though. Well, this is a dumb movie. There she is swimming underwater again, everything's shaking.
I have to say, that's for a nude scene, it was pretty stupid, but it worked. Yeah. I mean, if the idea was just to get her nude,
which it was,
they achieved it.
Well, good for her.
Can you guys kill a few minutes?
Sure. I had a whole pile of stuff. Brandon, have you been to a 7-Eleven in Rochester lately? Did you hear about the crazy thing that happened up there?
In my
Rochester 7-Eleven? Hills. Rochester Hills. I don't know. Is this your...
That's my 7-Eleven in Rochester Hills. There's only one on Rochester Road that I'm aware of.
On South Rochester Road, you're right.
Oh, boy, that's mine.
You need to go in there and talk to this guy. It's a weird story. 24-year-old man was hospitalized for mental evaluations. He walked into the 7-Eleven with an axe, dropped the axe, walked behind the counter, walked up to the clerk, took the clerk's glasses off, threw them, and began staring at his face very closely. That's it. And then as he was leaving, he just took a bag of chips and started eating them.
And this became a news story. How?
Well, because the guy walked into the clerk and had a staring contest with him. It's kind of weird. So they called the guy, right? Or, you know, called the police and they took him to the hospital. So at least you know you can go into your 7-Eleven now and just have a staring contest. And anytime you feel like having a staring contest with a clerk. How freaked out would you be if you were the clerk? I mean, you don't know what this guy walks in with that axe. You don't know what he's doing. He takes your glasses and throws them across the store.
Look, I know Drew loves 7-Elevens and everything like that, but I'm just going to throw this out here. And you know what? I stand by it. Speedway has better slushies than 7-Eleven does.
No, it's blasphemous.
Yeah.
No.
They have way better slushies. The consistency, like the actual consistency of the slushie, it's just better.
No.
Speedway.
Don't even get in a 7-Eleven versus Speedway.
And you can get, I get them practically for free whenever I go in there because of my Speedy Rewards points and stuff like that. So, you know.
Maybe you need to get the 7-Eleven app on your phone because that hands out rewards left and right.
I don't need an app. All I just need,
what do you need?
Speedy Rewards points.
You need an app for it. Gross. Welcome to the future, Speedway. Put a Twitter poll up there. Speedway versus 7-Eleven. The story before the show, we were all laughing pretty hard at.
My instincts tell me you're wrong as a dong all day long as daylight savings.
We thought it was a little kind of a cheap shot. The New York Post has a picture of Ric Flair in his car without a mask. And the story is how Ric Flair was spotted without a mask, even though his wife has COVID. But he's in the car.
He is in line to pick up a coffee from Starbucks, and someone just takes a picture of him inside his car. This is silly. I don't know how the New York Post decides to throw this
pretty lame.
In their newspaper, just totally calling out Ric Flair, one of the most fantastic wrestlers in history.
Apparently, he was pleading with people on social media to stop the spread and wear a mask. But then he's not heeding his own advice. He's in the fucking car. He's buying something from Starbucks.
But I don't know. I don't like that at all. Because
it's pretty stupid.
This is Ric Flair we're talking. The styling, profiling, limousine riding, jet flying, kiss stealing, wheeling and dealing son of a gun, you know?
Most people can see through that and realize what bullshit it is. another fun story is, and this is getting a lot of play, the local news, the woman who went online to get a hitman, the Monroe woman. Did you see that story?
Was that true? I thought it was, it looked so ridiculous.
Exactly.
And I only saw it from like a screenshot of a Facebook posted on Facebook. So
it's a joke. I mean, the website is a joke. You really aren't, they're really not looking to rent hitmen out. But she contacted the website, this woman in Monroe.
And what's the website again?
Rentahitman.com. And she's got a bond of $500,000. Let's see. Because it says, rent a hitman, your point and click solution. 100% HIPAA compliant with the Hitman Information Privacy and Protection Act of 1964. Now, if you're already online looking for a hitman, couldn't you just Google Hitman Information Privacy and Protection Act of 1964 and see what pops up? An undercover state trooper posing as a hitman actually met with her in a parking lot in South Rockwood, and she offered to pay him what I've always said is the going rate for a hitman, which
$5,000.
$5,000. It's always okay. $5,000. Which, shouldn't you have to pay more if you're going to hire a hitman?
You would expect that if it was going to be completed and you would not get in trouble, that it would be a little bit more than $5,000, yes. But the biggest thing, the biggest mistake that this Monroe woman made was she didn't go to her handyman first.
It's always the handyman. She probably didn't have a handyman, so she went to the website. The website, they actually reached out to him, like, does this happen before? I'm like, oh, yeah, this happens more times than you'd believe, people wanting a hitman or someone to shoot up their school. I mean, they're all idiots to do it, so they got to keep the website up because they're actually busting people with it.
I'm on the website now. I mean, it looks legit. It has customer testimonials. Like, here's Phil M. from Florida, who said, hey, Guido and his public relations crew were able to resolve a 5-year dispute in a matter of days. Highly recommend it.
How can you not see that and realize that it's bullshit?
It's things like this, Mark. Anybody who goes on this website and
throw them away. Get rid of them forever. They're an idiot.
The same type of people who share an Onion article not knowing it's an Onion article, or the Babylon Bee or whatever that is.
The Babylon Bee, yes.
People go on there and they just see these things and they immediately just take it for its word. And before they even vet it or read it themselves, they spread it and they comment on it or they share it. And then before you know it, my inbox is full of tons of conspiracy theories from people who want, hey, how come you guys don't talk about this?
I know.
I
like getting stories sent to us, but I don't know. There are some sites are more credible than others. Let's just put it that way.
That's the biggest thing is before you share anything, look at the URL. You know, if it comes from weeklyworldstandard.org, it's probably not going to be legit.
But I think a lot of people share because they know it's just humorous or funny. They think it's funny. And
how much would you pay to off somebody?
I don't want anybody killed.
Really? Would you think $5,000 would be enough?
No, I'm too cheap. Oh, no, I think you should have to pay more, but I'm too cheap. I'd rather just live with the person in my life, just be miserable and spend the money on it. Who do you want to hire? Who do you want to kill?
Anybody ever get away with that? The only instance I've ever really heard of something like that happening actually happened in my hometown.
Oh, well, that what? Wait,
yeah,
what?
there was that weird hit that happened at a gas station like a week after Kristen and I moved to Rochester Rochester Hills for the first time. It was the craziest situation.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't get a lot of news coverage whatsoever.
Did they solve it?
I don't think they did. I don't think they ever solved it. I think they just considered it a hit. Somebody drove up, walked in.
Did you get this from the Babylon Bee? What is
boom,
this story?
Boom, boom. No, I don't want to throw the gas station on blast because it's not their fault. And it was a weird situation. It happened like right next to our house though. And so we were freaked out because we just moved here. It's like, oh my God, what's this? We just moved to Rochester Hills. This place is madness. And
it seems like
in all reality, Rochester Hills is as safe as it gets unless you're walking and knocking on somebody's door. They'll chase you away.
Unless you live near Brandon.
Or you live near the 7-Eleven that has X.
I think it's just human nature though, to automatically jump to an extreme result for something. And I'm just thinking about the kid who was murdered, you know, his mom's the judge, the one Roy Den Hollander shot, who we talked about yesterday because we interviewed him. When that story came out, and I'm still seeing it about the story, you know, because now it's coming out that he praised Donald Trump, and this was a Barack Obama appointed federal judge. It's like, no, you know what? This guy's just a fucking kook, period. I don't really even think it had. Have you read any more about Roy Den Hollander? Because I feel like it's not necessarily about that.
Well, I mean, most of the stories that I see they really emphasize that he was a misogynist and, you know.
Which he was.
He was a men's rights attorney, so he's probably going to be labeled a misogynist every once in a while here.
But before we knew who that was and that story was out there, there were just already conspiracy theories abound about, you know, who he was after. And it's like, no, wait. If you're a hitman and you're trying to kill somebody, that guy didn't hit his target. This is about the husband. This is about the criminal defense attorney. Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, I actually saw that conspiracy theory right away that,
yeah,
you know, after he died, I saw things. I saw a lot of people going, interesting. It looks like they killed the killer. They hit the hitman.
Oh, my God. He's a patsy.
Exactly. And I did find this audio here.
By the way, I don't take no orders from no women.
Yeah. And then there was this one.
I don't listen to women yelling. I tell them to shut up.
Well, we will play that original interview with Roy Den Hollander from August 30th, 2011. We'll play it in its entirety at the end of this episode.
Minor correction is from September 4th because he posted on his website that he was on the show. A nice website, by the way, straight out of 1997.
The worst That's website possibly ever. And we do have to talk about a certain portion of the website.
Yeah.
Continue.
His joke section. But he posted on there August 30th. I'm like, God, I can't. I went through that whole show. I went through the 29th, the 31st. I can't find that. And then I remember, oh, that's right. We probably had him in the can for a few days. And sure enough, found him like 3 days later on September 4th. And what a weird, weird interview.
The guy's just a weirdo. Probably interviewed him like after the show on a Thursday, forgot to get to it Friday, and then played it on Monday.
Don't give all our secrets away.
Well, that was 2007. That's way different now. Now we don't take any breaks whatsoever.
I know. No, I'm surprised more people didn't realize that stuff was taped back in the old days.
Well, not many were.
No, not a lot of them were. But, you know, is it really that easy to get somebody on at 7 a.m.? No.
Did you always go through the joke section, by the way?
I did. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Pretty hilarious, huh?
I can't believe this guy's got all this, you know, legal mumbo jumbo on his website. A lot of serious stuff. And then there's just a tab that takes you. It just says jokes. And it's like, well, what's this? And you click on it. And it's a series of the most ridiculous, unfunny things I've ever seen in my entire life. Was he collecting these? Was he the writer, the author? Or did he just like them and put them all together?
He doesn't like women.
No.
All women or all the punchline? This guy's really got a problem.
Well, did you guys talk about the
Jim Norton thing?
No, you did not.
I didn't know you wanted to get involved with the discussion, Mr. Helper.
No, I was about to mention that, but go ahead.
Well, he called the Opie and Anthony show, and I don't know
After us?
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah, they did have the dates. They had everything.
Just remember, in this case, that we had him on first.
And Jim Norton apparently just was all over him. I mean, just was slamming him, you know, like, why did the chicken want to cross the road? So Van Den Hollander wouldn't fuck it. I mean, just all these really, they were not, I don't know that they're actionable or not, but anyway, he kept him tied up with court for a long time.
And it could have been us because we just started pounding drops on him.
Yeah, it was probably better that we played drops. You know, it's funny, we've talked to a lot of lawyers over the years, and I always in the back of my mind think, I don't want to get sued by anybody, and it sure seems like it'd be easy to do it with a lawyer.
Here's one of Roy Den Hollander's jokes. Ready? It's difficult to generalize about black and white, but I prefer black culture. The people are more open-minded, more tolerant, and they call a hoe a hoe.
Yeah.
The guy was a nut. Married men live longer than single men, but married men are a lot more willing to die. I don't get it.
I don't either.
A man will pay $20 for a $10 item he needs. A female will pay $10 for a $20 item she doesn't need.
You know, it's not funny, but I get it.
That's a thoughtful one. I mean, I'm still thinking about it.
Here's a story joke. This will be great. Old blind guy wanders into an all-girl biker bar by mistake. He finds his way to a bar stool and orders some coffee. After sitting there for a while, he yells to the waiter, "Hey, you want to hear a blonde joke?" The bar immediately falls absolutely silent, In a very deep, husky voice, the woman sits next to him says, "Before you tell that joke, I think it's only fair, given that you are blind, to know five things. The bartender's a blonde girl with a baseball bat. The bouncer's a blonde girl. I'm a 6-foot-tall, 175 blonde woman with a black belt in karate. The woman sitting next to me is blonde and a professional weightlifter, and the lady to your right
is blonde and professional." Oh, my God. Dreamweaver is already over.
"Now think, mister, do you still want to tell that joke?" The blind guy thinks for a second, shakes his head, and mutters, "No, not if I'm going to have to explain it five times."
Hey! Oh, my God.
What an asshole. Let's see if there's any other stupid ones.
That reminds me of the...
"Do you cheat?" "No, I can only handle stupidities of one girl at a time."
That reminds me of the joke that when it was told to me, it just went on and on and on. It was like, okay, so this guy's got to hire a secretary, and he's got three girls, and you know, and he leaves $100 out on his desk. And anyway, so he leaves the office and sends them all in there to get something and wants to see who steals $100. And I mean, and it's kind of dragged out and dragged out, a couple more dumb things like that. And says, "So which one does he hire?" You know, like it's a word problem.
Yeah.
Like, the one that didn't steal the money. No, the one with the biggest tits.
Yeah. Yo, boy, Roy Den Hollander would lose himself laughing at that.
He would. That would have cracked him up.
Yeah, that would have been a big hit with him.
Oh, by the way, the lead story,
he has generic put-downs on here, too.
The lead story was that Wald Lake coach getting fired.
Okay. And any more information?
Yeah, he had two tweets. The one about...
That's it?
Yeah, Donald Trump is our president, and the other one was liberals suck.
I'm amazed that they could fire him, especially there for that.
Well, they also said that he doesn't have support of the union.
Wow. But
I know. I was like, what?
I'm shocked.
And there was a quote from the school about saying divisive things. I mean.
Yeah, but that's not.
It's divisive. Just face it. He said the word Trump. He had printed the word Trump on his Twitter, and that was enough for somebody. I mean, it's really pathetic, but.
And now everybody's going to be scouring all the other teachers to see if they ever said anything about conservatives.
And they will have.
Revenge fire.
I have a feeling the school wasn't prepared for this onslaught that's coming.
No, I don't think so. They're eliminating stuff from their Facebook page that goes too far.
Oh, the teachers or Wald Lake?
Their Facebook page is apparently loaded up with people bitching up a storm that they fired this guy. So it seems that they're editing some things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Brandon, you're right. It's already happening where other teachers' old tweets are being posted on Facebook.
Oh, are they?
You're kidding.
No, I knew that. I knew that. You know that's going to happen every time.
I didn't mean to call it.
And I refuse to believe that all the other teachers there could not resist saying something that they hate about the right.
Sure.
But I still can't believe they don't support him. So just for the fact that he roots for Donald Trump makes him someone they don't want teaching.
Yeah.
That's pretty scary, actually.
That's pretty awful.
Did they post the tweets?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, you can go on Twitter and see plenty of things that other teachers in Wald Lake said.
What did they say? Well, just read a couple.
But you're saying people have already been posting them and posting them?
Yeah, I went by one, and it was, allegedly a teacher. I don't know who it is or not, but she said something about John Oliver's takedown of Donald Trump's mental health is brilliant, blah, 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 blah. So,
well, that's divisive!
Yeah. Yeah.
Social media,
that's honestly, right.
Getting fired for a social media post, it's so stupid. Why do people have to be on social media?
I see a lot of defund Wald Lake School District. This is going to be fun. I can't believe the union wasn't behind him.
I'm blown away
by that.
And you know, Kirchner's doing the story.
Yeah, Kurtzy.
Kurtzy. And somebody, he's like, you're probably wondering if there isn't more to this. And a parent just drove up and told me that he did have another tweet that did upset people. Liberals suck.
That's it?
That's what he said. I don't know.
Well, but I just thought this
woman sees the Channel 7 track. Oh, God, maybe they don't know about liberals suck.
You know something? You suck.
How childish.
I know. It's just so stupid.
Things childish.
You know, school disputes among parents are almost worse than the ones the kids have on the playground, aren't they?
Yeah, they tend to drag out more.
They can be really, really petty.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's our children! Well, I mean, I understand it, but just saying. You want to mention the... Well, I just mentioned the Kurt Gibson Foundation. KurtGibsonFoundation.org.
Yep.
If you want to go and look into playing some golf for the Kurt Gibson Foundation and, you know, raising money for Parkinson's. I cannot believe how busy that guy is. It's actually intimidates the shit out of me. Because I don't know what he's going through, but I know it's not easy to go through what he's going through.
Yeah.
In fact, if you read about Parkinson's, it's tough to read about. Just the depression and the difficulty sleeping and I don't know. But he has so many things to fill the day. He can probably fill an extra 3 hours. I'm kidding. No, I know he doesn't feel good all the time. In fact, he feels pretty fucking bad sometimes. But and that was what I appreciated about his speech last time when he said, I feel like shit. Because you look at him, you talk to him, and you just think, oh, it's Kirk Gibson. He can beat anything.
Yeah.
He's still fucking Hemingway, man. He's the modern day Ernest Hemingway.
Are you surprised there hasn't been more White Boy Rick stuff out there?
Yes, absolutely.
Like, where is he? What's he doing?
Where do you think his big first interview is going to be? I've seen speculation that it'll be like on TV. I've seen Joe Rogan. I've seen a whole bunch of different stuff.
Hmm. Oh, it should be with Kevin Dietz, right?
Yeah, so it might be on the Mike Morse podcast.
Well, that'd be
wait, is Kevin's show still on Channel 38?
It's a great question. My gut would say no. I don't know. I haven't heard anything about it. I don't know either. I don't know the story.
It could be on there, too.
I don't know. They seemed
they were going to give that a shot. I guess I could check the listings and find out.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of work to look for that.
I agree. I don't know. I'm really...
You've been yawning again, man.
I am. Something's terribly wrong with me. It really is. Let's get out of here.
Go your ass to bed!
All right! Well, we'll be back tomorrow. Trudy will join us. And hopefully Thursday, too, as I think we're going to have... Yeah, Carl's supposed to join us Thursday.
Okay.
For his first appearance from Who Are These Podcasts. And he's been studying a few podcasts to tell us about. And I asked him, too, if he can refer a few good ones, too. I think it'd be a good idea. It's obviously not what he does on Who Are These Podcasts. They can be pretty darn mean. Sometimes I speed ahead of the current one just to hear who they're... There's a few people they like listening to. But they had this thing on, was it Mikey? He's a radio guy doing a podcast, which is like, oh my God. Oh, by the way, remember Todd Pettengill? They did a Who Are These Podcasts episode on him. He had a big paywall.
Oh, yeah.
He was on in New York with Scott Shannon.
Yep.
And so his show sounded like a radio show. He had jingles. It was so dumb. It was just horrible.
Jingles in a podcast?
Yeah. Due to COVID-19, they economically can't go forward. I looked it up because I'm like, this thing's got to be over.
It's a good out.
It's been
out.
About a year.
Hope it's a good
exactly.
out for everything.
It's got a paywall.
It's really a good out. Just if you don't want to go somewhere. I can't. COVID-19. Can't
so,
do this.
I think that means you don't have that many subscribers is the problem. COVID-19. But they had a bonus episode for everybody, so that was really cool.
Maybe by then we'll know if we won Vote for the Best.
Oh, yeah.
Good luck with the podcast.
All right, let's get this guy on the line. He is a lawyer, by the way. And he is trying to put an end to ladies' night.
Hey, Roy, you there?
Yes, I'm here. How are you?
How you doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
All right.
And, you want an end to ladies' night.
You guessed it.
Now, Roy, what's up with that? Because that's what gets all the women in the club. They get the free drinks. Maybe they, well, I don't know, get a little less inhibited and lets the Roy Den Hollanders maybe go home with a more attractive woman than he might otherwise.
Well, that's the general argument that I've been running into, but that's
powerful.
Yeah, it is powerful because it really is true.
No, it's
you're
not
stock in the pond. No, if you allow them in free or free drinks or reduced drink costs, I mean, you get a lot of women in the bar, which is what the guys want, and then you get them drunk, which is what the guys want.
Girls in this country are more desperate for guys than guys are for girls. Simple population statistic. Now, what the girls will do is they'll look at a club and they'll say, wait a minute, these clubs are going to charge guys less to get in? That means there'll be more guys in those clubs. Not only will there be more guys in those clubs, but every guy that comes in that club will have a little bit more money that they can weasel a free drink out of them for. So the girls are going to flock to those clubs. Now, I don't know what it's like in Detroit, but
it's
in the clubs here in New York City,
free.
You go to clubs, you do an unscientific sampling, but just go around, do a sampling of the clubs, and you'll see that the clubs that charge the same or both are free for girls and guys, there's a better percentage of girls in the clubs, percentage.
You really think so?
That's what I've noticed over the years of going to the clubs. Actually, I think they should pay us to go to the clubs to satisfy the girls.
Gee, Roy, you must have some kind of special talents we don't know about.
No, it's simple business. For instance, these clubs, I mean, what their clubs are going to be defending in this lawsuit is they're going to be saying, look, this is a good reason, this is a legitimate business reason. Legally, that doesn't matter. But even if you look at the business reason, I'll bet none of these clubs have done a survey or conducted a focus group to see whether girls actually go to those clubs. A few weeks ago, I was talking to a couple of girls in a club that charges guys and girls the same. And what they said, they don't go to the clubs for the free drinks or because it's cheaper to get in. They go for the crowd. They go for the music. And they also said that, you know, most of the girls who just go to these clubs for ladies' nights are luscious anyway.
All right. Now, do you really expect to win this lawsuit?
I think there's a good chance. If I don't get thrown out on a procedural grounds, I think there's a good chance. And the reason there's a good chance is because about 30 years ago in New York City, the NOW, which I refer to as the National Organization of Witches, they sent a couple of their members into a bar which is called McSorley's Ale House. And McSorley's only served guys. And they brought a similar suit under the same causes of action against McSorley's. And they won that suit.
I guess I haven't been in the clubs that much lately. How old are you, Roy?
I'm old enough to know better, but I don't.
Well, what is that?
I don't mention what my age is because I don't.
All right, can we even get like a 30-something or a 40-something?
I'm middle-aged. I'm middle-aged.
Oh, okay. Roy, now what are you doing so worried about ladies' night? You shouldn't be in bars that much anyway.
What do you mean? After the Edgar Allan Poe tale of horror divorce that I went through 6 years ago, I decided to go back out to clubs. Actually, a friend of mine, after I divorced 6 years ago, a friend of mine said, hey, you got to get back into the social life.
Now, this isn't one of these things where you're just angry at women because you had a bad divorce, is it?
Actually, it goes back further than that. I mean, I've always been opposed to this feminazi, self-righteous, hypocritical, bigoted propaganda that they've been passing out. And I look at this ladies' night as really a microcosm for having guys shoulder the burdens, whereas girls get the benefits. And I see that as a microcosm as to what's been going on in the society for the past 40 years, where the feminists are transferring. What the feminists want is equality of rights, but not responsibilities. They want a quality of benefits, but not burdens. And I just see ladies' nights as another sample of that.
Well, this is a really confusing area because I think there are a lot of women who, for example, like doors being open for them. There are a lot of women who like a guy who chooses the restaurant and picks up the tab. And then there are those women who like to be in charge, too. They like to, you know, make their own decisions. And they don't like to be told where they're going, or they don't like to be told what entree is best. And they want to split the tab. And you know, it's a confusing time, I think, for men and women. I think because of the group you're talking about, And the women that do like the old way or have tried it the new way and really kind of ended up saying, you know what, I want to stay home with the kids. I want to watch the kids grow up. I don't want to be running from here to there and there to here. And so it's, I think that a lot of people are kind of caught in between in this thing. And what you're saying is you either want it one way or the other. If women are going to make the same money for the same job, or we're going to have equality in college admissions, equality in jobs, equality in picking up the tab, that it's going to be either all the way or no way.
There are fundamental differences between guys and girls. And in some situations, they're similar, but in other situations, there are fundamental differences, and those differences should be taken into account. But that's not what's been going on. What I'm trying to do, I'll be literally, I'm trying to take this equality that these feminists have been ranting about for 40 years and pretty much shove it down their throats. I'm trying to put them to the wall and say to them, you want equality? Then fine, we're going to give you 50% of the worst of society. And
okay.
then I believe they will change their tune. They will change their tune. They'll change a tune in which if a girl wants to compete for a high-paying job, fine. But she only gets the job based on merit. If a girl wants to stay at home with her kids, fine. So what you do is it's a little more complicated. You can't say girls and guys are equal in all situations, but you have to look at the situations. You know, look at science, look at a little psychology, and make a difference.
Roy Den Hollander is suing clubs over Ladies' Night, and Roy feels that it's time for an end to Ladies' Night, that if we're going to have equality, we're going to have equality. And, you know, I wonder, have you been to a lot of Ladies' Nights?
Before my divorce, I went to them, but it was... Once again, it was the horror I went through in a divorce that really changed.
What happened in this divorce, by the way? I sense that this divorce is
nasty.
So somehow involved in all
this. What happened was quite simple. The American law enforcement agencies and courts basically stepped on my rights in order to follow the feminist line. They laughed at me. I was laughed at by judges. I was laughed at by police officers.
Wait, why?
Because I went to him and I went to the judge and said I want an order of protection because my ex-wife, who was connected with the Russian mafia, is having guys threatening me.
The Russian mafia?
Wait, no.
Yeah, I managed a private detective agency in Moscow, and that's where I ended up meeting her.
This was not a mail order situation, was
no,
it?
No, I was coming home one night after going to a club, which I didn't have ladies' nights in Moscow, and I walked into a party in my apartment building. I crashed the party. I was in my apartment building. There was a lot of good-looking girls there. Unfortunately, it turned out that the party was run by a call girl outfit, but I didn't know it at the time.
Uh-oh.
But what happened in America, I mean, just one quick story.
Wait, so where did your wife fit in all this? Was she at the party?
Yeah, she was at the party. That's where I met her.
Was she a call girl?
I didn't learn that until after the marriage.
Oh,
that she was.
And I also didn't learn until after the marriage that she was feeding me drugs to help push me along that road to get married and bring her to New York.
She was what kind of drugs?
The FBI knows. They tested them, but they won't tell me what it is.
What?
Yeah. No, what happened is I found the drugs after I got her diary. I translated the diary, and I found some drugs that she was that had in the house. I took a sampling, took it down to the FBI after I kicked her out. They said, yeah, we'll test it. They called me up, and they said, yeah, we know what it is, but we're not going to tell you.
Why wouldn't they tell you?
Privacy reasons. They cited privacy reasons. But that's not the best. The best is I took two tapes of some goons that were threatening me, you know, associates of her, Russian mafia associates, took them to the FBI. They called me and said, we found out who the guy was that threatened you. So I said, who it is? And they said, we're not going to tell you. And not only aren't we going to tell you, but we're not going to interview him because we're concerned that he might get upset. And then they left me with the advice of, don't open my door to anybody I don't know, and be careful when I go out in public. And that was it.
Boy, you must be some kind of stud, Roy.
Yeah.
This woman just couldn't bear to let go of you.
No, that wasn't it. What happened was, I ended up bringing her over here, and then after the divorce, I found out that the Russian mafia was involved. Her lawyers wanted me to lie to Immigration and Naturalization Service so that she would definitely become a permanent resident. Look, she's an asset. Russian mafia brings all these pretty young assets over here through different ways, and it makes a lot of money.
Wow. So she was doing, when you were married to her, she was doing tricks on the side?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Christ.
She ended up working at Flash Dancers in Times Square.
Oh my God. And you had no idea?
Well, I finally I knew she was working at Flash Dancers, but I didn't find out about the prostitution until I started, there were these phone numbers that
you
were being called on my line, and I was wondering, so I started dialing these phone numbers, and ended up, you know, they were clients of hers.
Oh, boy.
And then also I had the diary, you know, I had
you're
the
a
diary.
Dirty old whore.
Translated the diary. Look, a guy in that situation is stupid. He does dumb things. I'll admit it.
Well,
but when
I
you get
know.
The diary translated, then
you're
I...
Naked, you yeah, straight whore! Right.
But it was the way the law enforcement agencies dealt with me.
This is Roy.
I just can't believe
hey, a little side. Hey, the FBI tried to run me out of Milwaukee when I was doing an investigation into a couple of people who emigrated to Milwaukee, and they run the largest modeling agency and call girl outfit in Krasnodar, Russia, and that's north, just north of the Black Sea.
Why don't you go back to your home on Whore Island?
Threatened me with arrest.
What?
I just can't get over how you're the victim, how you're the hated one, and here you are the victim
She's
of all of this stuff. And here they're not giving you information, telling you just watch your back and all this kind of stuff. I mean, giving you nothing to go on.
Yeah, for a lawyer, I mean, it seems like you have a sign on your back that says, hey, go ahead, screw
Yeah, right.
I mean, jeez.
And I'm not sure I understand what you were doing in Russia exactly, because I thought you were a lawyer.
No, I was a lawyer, but I was hired by Kroll Associates to manage their
what?
Russian operations and upgrade their Russian operations. I was hired on a contract. The contract was for 6 months originally. Then it went 8 months.
She's
so Kroll Associates is a security outfit, but it's really a modern-day private detective agency.
Now, do you look back on this and say, you know, when I went to that party, I should have known those were call girls, and I should have known she was a call girl. It all was a little too easy. Or is it one of those things where you just kind of met her there and then things progress from there?
As I look back on it, I say, you know, it's really been an interesting time. I got a couple of really good guys who are buddies of mine in New York, one in particular. We've had a lot of laughs about it. We used to come out of clubs and we used to see her picture on taxi cabs advertising Flash Dancers. And we're looking at the absurdity of this. Look, this is just too absurd to be made up. And we had a lot of laughs. And I'll tell you, I wouldn't be here talking to you guys if it hadn't been for my... Like crashing that car in the building. That was 8 years ago.
What a story.
Oh,
now, you mentioned, is it Flash Dancers?
Yeah, Flash Dancers. That's a strip club here in New York City.
Okay, and you knew she was working there while you were married, right?
Yeah.
And that wasn't a problem?
It was a problem, but, you know, I was just married. I was infatuated, shall we say. And she said, look, I just want to make $50,000 real quick to help my mother out in a new apartment. They had just bought a new apartment in Russia, and everybody in Russia is dirt poor.
Yeah.
Unless they're organized crime or strippers and prostitutes who work for organized crime.
But, you know, I would just think as a respectable lawyer like yourself, you'd be kind of disturbed that she was working at one of these places, because I don't know if you've been to many of them, but boy, what those girls, you know, what these guys seem to want out of them or seem to get out of them, or, you know, there's a lot of...
You're right.
Yeah, I don't know.
And
I didn't think I'd dig that.
I was, you know, despite my age, despite that I'd been around, I was pretty much naive about that. I thought, okay, she wants to go there, take off her clothes except for her thongs, make a lot of money, $50,000, that's it, I end it. But then I started learning more. And then when I found the diary, I learned what was really going on.
Someone a condom.
Well, I was
poor girl.
You're starting to sound a wee bit litigious here.
I hope to bring a bunch of other lawsuits along the same line as this ladies' night.
Now you're starting to sound a lot of bit litigious.
Yeah. What are those about in a nutshell?
Why don't you just die already?
I'm not sure yet.
I don't know. The whole ladies' night thing has been around for so long, though. I mean, it's just the idea of one guy suing over this, especially I would think this would be a guy who's 24 who's trying to live on that beer budget in that champagne world, but here we got a lawyer who's probably, I would imagine, you do pretty well for yourself. Are you a partner?
No. I went through various careers, and I'm just a sole practitioner, a civil litigator. But, you know, maybe it's because I'm a
We're
laborer.
Sick of your
I
face!
I just don't like having my rights violated to give girls an advantage that I don't think they deserve.
And you're sure it's not because maybe women haven't been that good to you, that maybe you think you deserve better than the treatment you've gotten from the women of America, Russia, fill in the blank, whatever?
I would think, no, it's really, it's not so much the treatment that I received from my ex-wife. okay, fine, you know, I'll take that. I mean, she was good looking and everything, and that's your traditional battle between the guys and girls. It was the treatment that I received by the law enforcement agencies, the courts, state courts and federal courts of this country. I mean, she went in to register to vote when she was an alien. That's a felony.
Yeah, well, we can't believe that aliens can get driver's licenses, yeah. And you can turn them over to immigration, and they just cut them loose and say, hey, we don't want to deal with this.
Exactly. So it wasn't so much what she did to me. In a way, that was almost expected.
My wife won't even come here because you grope her and you stare at her.
That I didn't expect. But okay, fine. But it was the way the institutions of the society treated me. And that's what changed my opposition into what I personally call a jihad, or maybe more appropriately, jihada. That's what did it. That was the turning point.
Now, what if everybody kind of wants ladies' night? Because I know I'm curious to see what our phones are like in our email. But, you know, I imagine a lot of women probably love ladies' night because, of course, they get to drink for free and they think they get to meet a lot of guys. And then... you know, guys, too. I don't know. What do you think of ladies' night?
I think it's beneficial, myself.
Yeah, more chicks.
Yeah, you get more chicks in there and you get them drunk.
Yeah, what's the matter with you, Roy?
Because, Roy, I've seen you've been interviewed all over the place. I've seen you on Fox. Were you on with Sean Hannity and Combs, maybe? Or
Cavuto.
Been on?
Okay. Neil Cavuto was a couple days
ago.
Oh,
that's the one I saw, yeah. But everybody seems to be pretty much beating up on you across the board from what I've been seeing.
Hey,
beating up on you real hard.
You're right, but that's fine.
For the same reason.
Hmm?
Yeah. For the same reason, the idea that clearly guys want ladies' night because it stocks the pond, it gets more women in there, and you get them drunk, and that's just how the guys want it, and they see you as getting in the middle of the road and messing up their fun with a lawsuit, and nobody understands it.
Okay, to respond to that, I mean, number one, personally, if they got to get the girl drunk, that's too bad. I think I'd rather be with a girl that's at least half sober. But as far as stock in the pump...
Hey, wait, this is from the guy that likes being with a stripper. Come on, Roy.
wait. Yeah, but
with
I thought there were some drugs added to that, you know? Remember, I was on drugs at the time and didn't know it. I mean, think about it.
I'm confused about this drug thing. What kind
bizarre.
Of drug would somebody give somebody to get them to do what she wanted you to do? I'm really confused. Drug would that be? What are our choices there?
I don't know. It was a brownish green powder, and the FBI won't tell me. And they're the only ones who have the sample.
I can't understand why the FBI won't tell you what this woman was giving you. That's bizarre.
Hey, you know. Why would they track down the guy who was threatening me and then tell me to not open my door to strangers and watch out when I'm in public?
You know, it just seems like people see Roy Den Hollander coming and somebody put an X on your back at some point and just said, boy, whatever this guy wants, just screw him, whatever way it takes.
Maybe it's the old Cassandra curse. You know, I tend to tell the truth, but nobody believes it.
Well, I don't know. It just sounds like you've been treated, in an almost incredible and unbelievable manner in every step of your life, ever since you walked in this call girl party. Should have been the best day of your life. It seems like it was the worst day of your life.
A turning point for you.
Did you hallucinate or anything like that?
No, I just felt good when she was around, when she wasn't around, when she was home with, you know, that. I was in Moscow, she was in Krasnodar. That's about, I think it's about 500 miles separation. So when she was home, I was feeling lousy because I wasn't on it, because she wasn't feeding me. When she came to Moscow, I was feeling good because I was on it.
Well, knowing now that
I'm so high right now.
Now that we know she was a dancer at Flash Dancers, too, she also sounds like she was pretty hot. So that might have been part of the reason you felt pretty good when she was around.
Yeah, that was, but then you had that added.
The fact that there was nonstop wood.
Look, I don't want to put all the blame on her. I was a stupid freaking fool to marry her in Russia and bring her here to New York. I'll admit that.
Well, anyway, boy, all this leads us back to ladies' night. And
if you have two groups of people who are similarly situated differently, if you treat those two groups differently, then you need an important justification for it. If you don't have that justification, then it's against the 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. So that's the theory that I'm in the court on.
Roy, do you have a girlfriend right now?
I have learned my lesson. When I go to these clubs, I'm just looking to party, meet a girl, go out a few times, take it where it'll go, and that's it.
No
more girlfriends
for
me.
Loser.
No more of these relationships. Just the party and have a good time.
How often do you get lucky?
I get lucky, not as often as I used to when I was younger than I am now. But it's sufficient. It's sufficient for me to get through some of my nights without being too annoyed.
No, I'm not sure what that means. Once every four.
That's
a
legal
nights,
terminology.
How often are you in the clubs? Five nights a week?
No. What I try and what I've been trying to do for the last 6 years, I try to hit a club one night on a weekend, but a lot of times I don't make it. A lot of times it's every other week.
Yeah,
but
it seems
but
like
I try for one
the
night on the weekend. Mm-hmm. One night on the weekend, and then if I meet a girl, go out and take it from there.
And
if I get the first, second, third, or home plate, it's fine.
Now, is this worth it? Because it sounds like, Neil Cavuto, did he trash you pretty good?
No, actually, he had a lady on instead, and I've noticed that, I don't know, I haven't seen a replay of it, but I don't think I got trashed. And I find the people in the media.
No, he had his way of making fun of the. He didn't agree with you at all. And then on the out on that, when he was after he let you go, and he would just kind of look at the camera and made a face like something like, oh,
okay, well that's fine. I mean, look, I'm a lawyer. When people call a lawyer a name, or they boo a lawyer, or they make faces at a lawyer. For a lawyer, that's a compliment. Why is it? Think of it. But the lawyer is having an impact.
Well, it seems like, I don't know, I just get the impression so much of this stems from, the Russian call girl wife, the diaries, the drugs,
the flash
dancers, and, I don't think I'd be crazy about women at this point in my life if I'd been through all that crap either. And then I saw you, they showed a clip of you on, I think it was on the Fox Network, and they mic'd you at a club or something. And I think all they showed was some chick turning. You wanted to dance with somebody, and she's like, "Yeah, maybe later or something like that."
Well, you
sort
have
of a blow
to,
off.
Yeah,
like
I saw that clip. Yeah,
you have to understand. They didn't show everything that was going on at that club. I mean, the girl that I asked the cell phone number of, and she said no.
There was
about 5 minutes before that where her and I were having a great conversation. If it hadn't been for the camera, and if it hadn't been for the rush to get as much, if they hit on as many girls.
Oh, so she gave you, did she give you the number off camera?
No, but she was at that point.
I would think that the camera would have enhanced the situation because she would have started thinking like you're really somebody. You got a camera crew with you.
Yeah, it's Roy Den Hollander and his camera crew.
That's right, exactly.
Yeah, my number to that guy.
Yeah, this guy's a big shot, man. I'm going to be on television with this guy.
Well, look, even the reporter, and she was good, Gigi Stone, said afterward, the camera did intimidate a fair number of ladies that I walked up to. And it takes
that.
A little longer because, as you could tell by that, I'm not as young as I used to be, so I'm trying to play on the fact that I look like a Benjamin Franklin, a $100 bill.
Are you going after women who are substantially younger than yourself?
I only do what Mother Nature tells me to.
Which
Those
is what?
Young
substantially younger than yourself.
Better believe it.
Yeah.
20s.
Yeah. 20s, Roy.
20s, only.
Come on, you got a 50-something looking for a 20-something.
Maybe late teens.
Maybe late teens.
What state I'm in.
There you go, Roy.
I don't know, Roy. You might be kidding yourself here.
I don't think so. It's what I have found after the divorce, what I have found hanging out with my buddy is that these girls.
Who's his buddy?
Divorce.
These girls.
Are you lucky
it's,
with
it's,
him?
An, my, it's an old. Divorce, he divorce, was my divorce, martial divorce. Arts. Instructor, I'm his lawyer, and he's just like my best friend in New York.
How often does he get lucky?
Oh, he's really good at it.
Oh, really?
What is he?
how old is he?
He's in his late 30s.
Now, what does he think of your lawsuit? I mean, he's your only friend. I know he's got to kind of go along with you, but what do you think underneath? Do you think he's unhappy or happy with your litigation?
He's not my only friend, and I would see.
Oh, you caught that.
Yeah, of course. I have other
Are
friends,
you
not many. I have a few. I have maybe four really good friends.
All right,
whose
if we
advice
can't...
I would listen to and follow on some matters.
And are they honest with you, or are they just, they know you, the friends are a little on the light side, they're just trying to be supportive?
No, this is what I find out. I find out, not just from my friends, but say some guys that I meet who are working in the media, they'll pull me off to the side and say, hey, I really support what you're doing. I think it's time we put a change to what's been going on in this country with the feminist transferring rights. Or I often call them feminazis, transferring rights from,
I've never heard that.
All they want is the rights.
Yeah.
No responsibilities.
Yeah, it's a huge term in use for years.
No burdens.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I've been using that feminazi terminology since 1990.
You got that too.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if Rush Limbaugh invention of it. I should at least be.
Yeah, what's Rush Limbaugh doing stealing your act?
Yeah,
you ought
really.
To sue Rush Limbaugh, too.
Yeah.
I'm at least the co-inventor of that term. I want to go down in history as that.
All right, we'll put it up on Wikipedia and see if it'll fly. Well, Roy, I'm curious to see how this thing goes. When do you think we'll find out the answer?
I don't think there'll be a final answer for years.
Oh,
but what
boy.
I'll do is, I have your producer's number, and I'll keep you guys informed.
All right. Are you sure this is worth it? I mean, if this is going to take a number of years.
Oh, it's worth it.
You think so?
Why don't you just die already?
I'm in this fight to my last dollar or my last breath.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Roy.
Man, that divorce.
Do you have kids, by the way?
No, I don't. Thank goodness. I mean, how could I tell a kid, well, your mother's a prostitute, you know?
It's yeah, that would hard suck. To... Good thing you're shooting blanks.
Yeah.
No, I was careful.
Good thing she didn't give you... Yeah, but what if she gave you some pill that made you want to have kids?
He's got elephant ears.
He does. Man, oh, man.
Roy, by the way, as an attorney... who's got a few friends and certainly has his share of luck on the club scene. I don't know how strong that luck is. We can't quite get an exact number on that. But are you successful? Are you doing well as an attorney?
Not as well as I would have been doing if I hadn't gone out of the way to, say, do this lawsuit or before to do a civil RICO suit against the ex-wife and her Russian mafia associate.
Did you win that suit?
No. I took it up to the U.S. Supreme Court, got bounced out.
Yeah, as far as passing the bar, did you pass on the first effort or?
Yeah, I passed.
JFK Jr.
I passed in one of the I think it's the top 5%.
Really?
I took the bar twice. I took it once in Washington D.C. I moved to New York and I took it in New York both times.
Well, it seems like you'd be winning more of these suits with a record like that.
I'm a guy.
How much money is this going to cost you to do this?
100, 200 grand.
Oh, my God.
If you factor in the time.
Wow.
Doesn't
you buy another Russian wife for that much money.
Do you ever do karaoke at the bars?
No, but I've been to one of those places, but I never did it.
No.
Yeah.
You sing like a goat choking on its own scrotum.
That's why.
Handle that.
Well, Roy, keep us posted,
Roy.
All right?
We'll do.
Okay, good luck to you, I guess.
Thank you.
Okay, Roy.
Okay, Roy.
Thanks for talking to me.
Yeah, nice
you
talking
too.
To you. Have
see
a great
you.
Day.
Okay, thank
bye-bye.
You.
Bye. What a
night. It's ladies' night. Bitches drink free.
He's a stone-cold killer.